You're listening to Don Nicolion. Don't forget to tip the booty on duty.
Just that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funky stuff. Give it to me. Give me that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funky stuff. Give it to me. 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 Give it to me.
God, Sakim Ra.
Oh.
It's the God, Sakim Ra.
Oh.
It's the God, Sakim Ra.
Oh. They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicoleon, man.
Oh. They ask me what I do and who I do it for. They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicoleon, man.
Oh. They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
It's the God, Sakim Ra.
Oh. They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicoleon, man.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
WGAG Radio.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
WGAG Radio.
Birthday. It's your birthday.
If I die, bury me in St. Louis.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Yeah.
And how I come up with this shit up in the studio.
Yeah.
All I want for my birthday is a
Don Nicoleon, man.
All I want for my birthday is a
Don Nicoleon, man.
When I die, bury me in St. Louis style. When I die, bury me in St. Louis style. All I want for my birthday is a
Don Nicoleon, man.
All I want for my birthday is a
Yeah, what up? It's the God, Sakim Ra. You chillin' with Don Nicoleon, man, your big booty girl. WGAG Radio, live from Brooklyn, you heard?
Got a big booty, so I call him Big Booty.
Skirt, skirt.
Wrist moving, cook, getting to it.
I'm in the kitchen.
Cams everywhere.
Damn.
Just made a juice.
I
got fans everywhere.
Man.
You the realest nigga breathing if I hold my breath.
Damn.
Referee with a whistle. Hold his tag.
Extendo clip.
Extendo roll. When your girl leave me, she need a hair salon. Have weed killers going on the chopper thumb. See, I done had more bones than Pakistan.
Don Nicoleon, man.
You're listening to Don Nicoleon Show. at WGAG Radio.
Yeah, baby. Welcome to the Don Nicoleon Show, man. Such an honor to be here today, personally, myself. Praise God, Pastor Pochon. What's good with you, Mill? Mill Infinity is in the building, man. How you doing today, Mill? I see everybody in the after party. Big Sav over there in the VIP chat room. I see you, baby. Thank you so much for participating. It don't cost much, my nigga. It don't cost much to go into the VIP chat room, I tell you, man. It's absolutely fucking free as long as you pay your internet connection, goddamn. God damn, that shit ain't gonna hurt no motherfucking body, man. God damn, ain't nobody asking for no goddamn money. Nigga act like he costs. As soon as they realize that shit boosts my ratings, you see how niggas stay stuck over there in the after party? You see that shit, Big Sal? You see how a motherfucker do a nigga? I'm gonna forget every last one of these motherfuckers. Wait till the white man snatch me up. I ain't taking none of you motherfuckers with me. Wait till that cracker snatch me up. I'm only taking Big Sal, goddamn, and Neff. You know I gotta take Neff with the bag. Look at Gino's goddamn ran over there, did he? What's good with your G still learning in the building? G ran over there quick as fuck. Come on, you ain't finna leave me, Miss K, in the triad, bitch. Sure, you gonna need security and a goddamn private school. Y'all got the private school on lock, though, man. I'm proud of y'all. Y'all keep it pushing. Keep it going whenever you don't give up, because I need y'all, like, for real. Like, seriously, I need that private school, y'all, like, for real. I just want to tell you that. Oh, my God, look what the wind blew in. My man, B. Moya. How you doing, baby? What's good with you, B. Moya? You miss me, honey? You miss me? Say yes. Say yes, I miss you, Don. Hell yeah, I miss you too, baby. Welcome to the Don Nicoleon Show. No time, no see, my friend. Sometimes I give you a little love, though, when I see you stuck over there in internet traffic over there on Highway Facebook. You feel me, boo? Let me give a special shout-out to my man, 25212. He doesn't overstand when I don't give him a shout-out, but I hope he gets the shout-out today. Jay Illa, man, is also in the building, man. Number one producer on the planet, man. Music producer, that is. Y'all need some music, man. Y'all need to holler at Jay Illa. You know, it's excellent music, great samples. You know what I'm saying? Put the vibe back in the music, right? Put the soul back in it, man. That's my nigga, Jay Ill. I got to give a special shout-out also to my girl, Mazani, in the building. Yo, what's good with you, bitch? Bitch, it's 2 days in a row, bitch. Oh, shit, you must got fired. Mazani must got fired and shit. It's 2 days in a row, girl. I only see you, like, every 3 months and shit. What's good with you, Hakeem Simmons, my man, self-guided. Also, Mush Mouse, I beat it, I am. The one and only fire lioness is in the motherfucking building. What's happening with you? Man, I'm feeling fucking good. What's good with you? Oh, shit, she just left. I'm so glad I caught that, because I hate to give a person a shout-out twice. You saw how cool that she, saw how smooth that she was. I was like, what's good with you? Oh, shit. I'm smooth than a motherfucker, man. Please believe it, man. Special shout out to Nefertiti surviving the game. I got her coming up next. And if you missed the show Friday night, man, go on and download it. Get it. Go to blogtalkradio.com/WGAG-radio. Pull up Nefertiti surviving the game on the front page, man, the recent show. Fucking awesome show. Also, the El's Holy Tablet show. Special shout out to everybody. Everybody, much love, prosperity, and blessings for those that keep helping the show move on, especially the Holy Tablet show, because it requires a whole bunch of motherfuckers to pull that one out. Yeah, baby. So don't forget to tune in Saturday night at 9 o'clock p.m., man. We moved on to chapter... Yeah, to that chapter. Please believe it. I fucked around and drew a blank real quick, goddamn it. Anyway, man, I got some music, more music coming up, man. And, no, I'm not taking requests today. I basically done damn near, I'm request out. I did request for myself, goddamn it. But let me give a special shout out to everybody, man. I hope y'all had an awarding, strong beginning and not a weekend. Much love and prosperity and blessings and protection to you and your family, though, all day, every day. You feel me? 300,000 days, goddammit. Anyway, man, be right back. This is the Don DeColeon Show, just in case some of you motherfuckers don't know where you at today, goddammit.
You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Don DeColeon Show, Rock Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, or jointhegossip.com.
WGAG Radio. What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Samaya, and starting June 9th and every Sunday night from 9 p.m. to midnight, it's going down with Queen Bee Astrology, where you will learn how to rise, vibe, and survive with the stars. So come check me out as I use astrology to break down current events, relationships, help you pinpoint opportunities and pitfalls, and you can also call into the show for a sample reading and your chance to win a full one-hour reading with me, Samaya. And remember, ain't no cotton candy, candy yam readings over here. The queen gives it to you straight, no chaser. And don't forget to check out my website, queenbeeastrology.net, and you can also follow me on Twitter at queenastrology.com. So call your mama them, auntie them, cousin them, pookie and them, because we about to get it in with me, Samaya, the queen bee of astrology. So come get down with the queen every Sunday night at 9 to midnight on WGAG Radio.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Yeah, it's your boy Jay Ella. And when I ain't here banging out these amazing beats, I'm cooling with my peeps at the Don DeColeon after party. Come through and chat it up with us anytime. Meet up with the Brain Trust. Come listen to some good music. Get caught up in some good conversation. You may even catch a building session from time to time. Learn something new. Get yourself inspired. What you gotta do, you have to go to www.powtalk.com. Search Don DeColeon the after party. And there you are. And here we go.
To death, bitch. Sentence you to death, bitch. Question session. I'm the judge and jury, bitch. And you've been charged with being treasonous against your people, bitch. The queen don't take too kindly to playing on my people's ignorance. when they're heaven sent and innocent, you're an agent working for the Pope and Jesuits. I'm the dragon and hot fire I spit. Best believe your malevolence will not be ignored, which is the reason why thy head is on the chopping board. I won't apologize for being deity, for creativity, for what the creator has given to me. The weak are governed by jealousy. Let's see, you were blessed by birthright but chose partaking co-conspiracy. Vital to why you must be put to death. Alas, the devil stood and saw how awful goodness could be and then he wept. I'ma whoop your ass with the entire Bible belt. I'm the Lord, you fucker, therefore thy will be felt. A lot of consciousness, a little bit of gangstrip. Ignorance is bliss, now you know that I exist. To the industry nigga and industry bitch. You've been sentenced by the Queen Supreme Substance. A lot of consciousness, a little bit of gangstrip. Ignorance is bliss, now you know that I exist. To the industry nigga and industry bitch. Been sentenced by the Queen Supreme Substance.
Don't do it to him.
I gotta
set these niggas on fire.
Light, light a fire.
If you blind, you entitled to it. The way we go so hard.
Didn't try to do
this suit, number 20, don't line the music. If we wake them up, we might spark a movement. My IQ higher than a Harvard student. No skull and bones. This DL uni. First seat, emergency. You couldn't see me even if it was urgently.
Nah.
Queen, lock them up.
Why?
Perjury. Fuck the GOV. They couldn't service me. Motherfuck the Queen of England. I'm too cold like a penguin. My lip is hot, tongue tingling. I say fuck the world and then leave it in. If I fuck your girl, that's the heathen inside of me. Language insane, working out cheap, still ride clean. Materials get you fucked up. In this artificial construct, we'll kill our brother but still won't buck. On the police when they pull up, be like, excuse me, sir, that's a mix-up. If we learn the language, we can beat the system. If we beat the system, we can change the nation. Fuck Obama administration, this is 2014 revelation. Fuck George Bush administration, we've been dropping these bombs. Stand the fuck up, Alabama, coming deep up out the slums. Let's go.
A lot of consciousness, a little bit of gangstrip. Ignorance is bliss, now you know that I exist. To the industry nigga and industry bitch. You've been sentenced by the Queen Supreme Substance. A lot of consciousness, a little bit of gangstrip. Ignorance is bliss, now you know that I exist. To the industry nigga and industry bitch. You've been sentenced by the Queen Supreme Substance.
Do not believe in God, but the fear of us just the same. Oh, oh, oh.
this is the Don DeColeon Show. I'm so black to be here, man. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. They don't pay y'all enough. What's good with you, well-dressed? What's happening with you, baby? They don't pay y'all enough, goddammit. This is how we do it up in this thing, man. This is the Don DeColeon Show, goddammit. Hope y'all had a wonderful, great, strong beginning out of weekend, y'all there. Boy, what the fuck is in the goddamn news, yo? It's a lot of shit. I don't even know where to begin. I'm going to start with this one first so I can make you Earl. Anal hazing is apparently a thing in American high school now. I repeat, anal hazing. You fucking hear this shit? Jayla, you better be glad your motherfucking ass damn near 50, motherfucker. Okay? I keep saying this shit, man. I'm so fucking glad I was born in the fucking 70s, yo. I'm glad I was born in the 70s, nigga, because I had to kill a motherfucker. Anal hazing is apparently a thing in American high school now. In the last year, there have been more than a dozen hazing incidents around the country involving high school boys who have sodomized other boys with foreign objects, reports Bloomberg. They had to put that on record. Did y'all hear me? Tell me y'all fucking heard me. In the last year, there have been more than a dozen hazing reports or incidents around the country involving high school boys who have sodomized other boys with foreign objects. Over 40 boys have been reported victims. Most have been younger students. There's a dearth of data concerning the size and scope of the national boy-on-boy anal hazing problem. Astonishingly, though, a study published in the Journal of Youth and Adolescence has claimed that nearly 10% of high school males report suffering some form of sexual assault, including, in some cases, forced oral sex or rape. Now, we know that to be true because there's been a lot of stories that, of course, yours truly, Don DeColeon, not stories, but, you know, situations that have taken place where boys were forced to do oral sex, you know, like one of the little boys, I think it was at an elementary school or middle school, I think it was elementary, and they put the boy in, pinned him in the bathroom and made him perform oral sex on like five boys ganged up on him and shit, man. Remember that shit? That shit was like maybe like 3 fucking weeks ago or a month. You know what I'm saying? I know these bitches. And then it had something to do with the principal, too, because this bitch already knew about it and gave them motherfuckers like some old foul-ass shit. Anyway, social media, they say, plays a big role in the spread of hazing in high schools, asserts Susan Lipskin, okay, a New York psychologist who has studied the phenomenon. That's not a phenomenon. I thought a phenomenon is something that has never happened before. Get the fuck out of here. This is not a phenomenon. High schoolers learn new and more brutal ways to haze thanks to virtual communities, all right? Each time a hazing occurs, the perpetrators add their own mark to it by increasing the pain or humiliation, says Limpkins, okay? Let me just say this. If you love your heterosexual son and this motherfucker is in school, bitch, get him out of there. If he's heterosexual, if he's already a fucking punk, a fucking fag already, you might as well keep his little ass in that motherfucker. But I'm just saying for all you bitches who got, because I'm still on that black skunk, scut bucket, slut hole ass of a black woman. I'm still on you bitches, but I'm just saying if you love your son, and he's heterosexual, and he's in school, whether it's elementary, middle, or fucking high, get him out of there. But we already know what the deal is, don't we, Mill? Who the fuck gonna take their son out of school like that? In regards to this shit, here about to get ugly. Three former soccer players at La Punta High School in the suburban Prague east of Los Angeles were convicted of sexually assaulting other students with a javelin and a broken fucking flagpole. Okay? A bit farther east in Fontana, California, underage students allegedly tried to place a piece of rebar inside the anal cavity of another student, and that's according to NBC in Southern California. This shit is California right now. Students in Los Angeles, Southern California, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. There was a similar incident involving a broom handle. Prosecutors say a masonry teacher was present at the goddamn time and knew what was happening. Okay, let me repeat that again. A bit further east in Fontana, California, underage students allegedly tried, why they say allegedly, motherfucker, they did, tried to place a piece of rebar inside the anal cavity of another student. Now, there was a similar incident involving a broom handle. Prosecutors say a masonry teacher was present at the time and knew what was going on. Okay, if you know a dumbass black hoe has a son, this is the way you tell the bitch. Don't you ever think that teachers are there to protect your children or your son or your daughter. Don't you ever fucking think that. I just got to keep telling you motherfuckers that shit because it seems like some people tend to have faith all over again. This shit here ain't no fucking joke. Y'all hear this shit? God damn. I know it's too early for this shit, but you got to do it sometimes, man. And the teacher fucking knew what was happening. Now, let's move on to Iowa. In a tiny green field, Iowa, a group of members of the Nodaway Valley High School wrestling team allegedly, they say, fuck allegedly, the motherfucker did, pinned down a 16-year-old teammate and sexually assaulted him because he had missed practice. Now, how many black scum bucket bitches do you think got their sons enrolled in wrestling? They have a wrestling team. We don't. I ain't part of their ass. But in this sick-ass, hick-ass town, they have a wrestling team. Yes, the fuck they do. And it's niggas in it. White boys and niggas. I ain't with none of that shit. We already know, like, what the fuck wrestling is. Your dick get used to being, you know, like, your dick get used to, you know, like, let me say this shit right. Your dick get used to rubbing up on another motherfucker, especially in fucking wrestling. So, an unidentified student told ABC affiliate KCRG that older wrestlers ordinarily force jump rope handles into the anuses. Is that it? A-N-U-S-E-S? Anuses of younger wrestlers who mispractice or fail to make weight. So the older wrestlers would force jump roll handles into the anus of younger wrestlers. I don't fucking know. This shit here is too much. This is fucking draining. When that motherfucker mispractice or fail to make weight. Now that's in Iowa. At New York's Fancy Pants Bronx High School of Science now, for all you black scum bitches who think that because the word science comes on the end of Bronx in high school, that you think you done fucking made it. But at New York's Fancy Pants Bronx High School of Science, Three members of the track team stand accused of violently sexual or abusing at least one younger student. That came from CBS News in New York, okay? One of the attackers told the victim at one point, "You need a good fingering. You a freshman." That's what they told that little freshman at Bronx High School of Science. "You need a good fingering. You a freshman." Are y'all staying up or y'all throwing up yet? Are we still, shall I stop or shall I continue? In the suburbs, now that we done left New York, in the suburbs of Chicago, suburbs now, prosecutors say a group of older soccer players at Maine West High School sodomized several younger players with fingers or sticks, says WLS-TV. Now, the embattled coach, Michael DiVincenzo, he's charged, y'all, with abetting the Hayes abuse. Okay, so the coach at the Chicago Maine West High School soccer team is charged. So we got two teachers that let it happen. It's part of it. All right, so far. He himself, this motherfucking coach, Michael DiVincenzo, he himself threatened players that he would order varsity players to perpetrate acts of violence and hazing upon these young men. Charged a prosecutor in the criminal case against this motherfucking coach, and that's according to the Niles Herald Spectator. I shall continue on for those that need to know more. Bloomberg covers the horrifying, fascinating details of another case. Ain't nothing fascinating about this shit. See how they write? I hate these sick fucks. Fascinating details of another case that occurred in 2012 in the tiny ranching town of Norwood, Colorado. Three varsity wrestlers bound a 13-year-old boy with duct tape on a bus at the state wrestling meet and sodomized him with a fucking pencil. Is anybody listening? Is anybody out there? Hello? Hello? Y'all know school is about to come back in. Is anybody out there? Hello? Can anybody hear me? Shit. The fuck? Is this shit? The wrestling coach was the father of two of the attackers. The victim's father was the principal of the fucking school, single and all grade public school. Lord have mercy. The superintendent, so don't think because you're a teacher there or a principal there that they ain't going to fuck your child, that a teacher, a coach ain't go co-sign and fucking your child, even if you got a job at the motherfucking school. So please don't get it twisted. Am I right? Don't get it fucking twisted. This the principal's child. Okay? The 13-year-old that was duct taped on the fucking bus and sodomized with a pencil is the principal's son. And the coach allowed that shit to happen and co-signed on. He's the father of two of the attackers. The superintendent gave the assailants a one-day in-school suspension. The superintendent gave them motherfuckers a one-day in-school suspension. The unnamed principal confronted the wrestling coach after initially denying the incident, the coach said, "This happens 1,000 times a day around the United States of America." I'll do that again because I know some of y'all got ADHD. The daddy, whose 13-year-old son was sodomized with a fucking pencil at a wrestling meet, who happens to be the principal of the fucking school, confronts the fucking wrestling coach. And after after this coach denied the incident, he finally says, "This happens 1,000 times a day around the United States. This happens 1,000 times a day around the United States." Students tease the 13-year-old boy, principal son, who's been stuck up your butt. They tease him and say, "What's been stuck up your butt today? This is fucked up. This is terrible." The townies sided overwhelmingly with the coach. So everybody in this fuck-ass town called Norwood, Colorado, sided with the coach and the pencil welding attackers. Everybody was on their side, which you already know how sick the fucking town is. And what's sick is a carpenter. A local carpenter in the town told Bloomberg magazine, a reporter, whatever the fuck, "I got bullied as a kid because I had long hair and earrings. I played football, baseball, and soccer, and the older kids bullied me. But we always shook hands, and it would be over with. But today, you can get prosecuted. It has all gone too far." This little boy was fucked in the ass with a pencil, motherfucker. Not Jones. All right. Anyway, here's another carpenter. This is the carpenter's husband. I guess they're two fags. So now the carpenter husband comes in and says, "When I was in school, there might have been bullying, but there was none of this crap about telling the school," added the carpenter's husband, which means they are fucking gay. So now we can conclude that in the city of Norwood, Colorado, the whole town is fucking sick. The principal eventually had to accept a buyout of his contract, y'all. Y'all hear this shit? The principal eventually had to accept a buyout of his contract and move to another Colorado town. The wrestler coach, though, is still employed by the school. The sexual assault craze that is sweeping America's schools isn't limited to hazing or anal violation or high schools. Three males, two third graders, everybody, and a fifth grader at an elementary school in New York City forced a third grade boy to perform oral sex on them, and that's according to a disturbing fucking lawsuit in Don called Young Broke That Story, a monologue boom. 2 months ago, I guess. I think. I can't remember. I don't know my days from hours. Anyway, that happened on March 2012. The lawsuit is still going on now. Incident occurred in a bathroom at a public school, 194 in Harlem. The 8-year-old victim was standing in a hallway when the three assailants dragged the boy into a bathroom stall. He pleads for help. His pleas for help went unheard. And I talked about that. If you like, I would love to rehash that for you motherfuckers. Just let you fucking know how serious this shit is. I will read it again. Three. Okay. Three grade school boys allegedly forced third grader to perform oral sex on them. I have an instant replay, motherfucker. I'm about to do it right now live. Three male students, two third graders, and a fifth grader at an elementary school in New York City forced a third grade boy to perform oral sex on them. That's according to the lawsuit, okay? The 8-year-old victim was standing in the hallway when the 3 assailants dragged the boy in the bathroom stall. His pleas for help went unheard. Okay? The little boy says, When I was going on the line, 3 kids dragged me in the bathroom and they pulled their sick pants. They pulled their dick out their pants. The boy wrote in a statement to the school according to court papers. I told them no, but they didn't listen to me. Now, one of the culprits allegedly pinned the victim, the little third grader boy, hands behind his back. Another pushed him to his knees. When the traumatic scene finally ended, the boy notified a teacher. A student counselor and a school principal called the boy's mother, who isn't named, of course. I don't know how to explain this to you, the principal says, but your son was in the bathroom and was forced to perform oral sex on 3 boys. The principal told the boy's mother when she arrived at the school. The boy's mother also said she was the one who had to call the fucking police because the bitch-ass principal wouldn't fucking do it. The $6 million suit against the New York City's education department alleges that the 5th grader attacker had sexually assaulted a female student 2 years earlier, yet school officials did not even warn parents formally about the incident. Neither did they discourage such behavior in the future, okay? The principal gonna say he's just a kid. The principal told the previous female victim's mother, according to Daily News, he's just a kid. The suit also claims emotional and psychological anguish, okay? School officials responded with slaps on the wrist for the 3 boys who allegedly forced the 3rd grade boy into oral sex. Do y'all hear this shit? You see how this shit is working now, right? The wrestling coach has his job. The principal had the goddamn in his contract. Everybody gets away, y'all. Everybody gets away with this shit. So I just want to tell y'all bitches and y'all Negroes, you niggerly Negroes, that you don't stand a chance in hell, which is the Greek word for school. Your child and you don't stand a chance in hell. That's the Greek word for school. Just want to tell you that, just in case some of you motherfuckers didn't know that shit. That's what it is. It's a Greek word, school. Now, I got Nefertiti Surviving the Game coming up, motherfuckers. And I'm going to be right back with Nefertiti Surviving the Game. I got some more shit. This shit ain't fucking over. Welcome to a goddamn moon day.
Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is entering its 3rd full day, and both Israelis and Palestinians.
Bottom line, Senator, if the president nominates Ambassador Rice to be the next Secretary of State or some other...
Supplementary question. Do you personally believe that gay people are born gay?
Impact segment tonight, the Talking Points memo...
Hot damn politics.
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 Hot diggity damn politics.
Politics.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I'm back now with the Brain Trust panel.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust panel.
These niggas won't hold me back.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I put that shit on everybody.
Hot Damn Politics, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. only on WPAG Radio.
I'm not gonna give up, I'm not gonna stop, I'm gonna work harder, I'm gonna survive.
Wait a minute. Hold up. We're not talking about surviving the beauty shop. We're not even talking about surviving midday traffic. We're talking about
surviving the game.
Life is a game played on the biggest stage. The objective is to survive. Kick it with me every Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Everything I do's revolutionized. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these, really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey, Huey. Marcel Cody with the Uzi. Listening to Fela Kuti. I'm a goon with the machete. Especially if it's deadly. Got the Santos for the Hexy to protect me. So respect me. This is heavy, legendary, revolutionary. My wifey, she resurrect me when they thought they had me buried. Took me out the cemetery. Now it's family over every. Cause it's all that's necessary to avoid the commissary. I'ma live for you five, so I stop getting high. If you know, then you recognize. It's that black and brown pride. It's the power of the mind. RBG, guard the vine. You can see through the lies if you can read between the lines. I live, I die, I organize. Everything I do, revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these.
Mic check was good. What you done, Curry?
Oh, man, you know what it is, man. Just being safe, man. Staying out of the way of firing warning shots at people.
Y'all might just need to get grazed, too, with these warning
some
shots.
Fucking
this shit
shot.
Is
yeah, they need to what, get hit by.
They need to get grazed with these warning
nah,
shots.
They don't need to get No. They just need to, They don't need to get, you don't want their children being a victim of that shit. You just want to prevent it. No parent don't want to go through that shit, man. You know what I'm saying? No parent don't want all that shit going on.
Yeah. Not at all. That's why I ain't never giving them minds at all.
Yeah, because now this shit done got crazy, ain't it?
I'm listening.
And everybody is being excused from it.
Right.
This is your Obama administration. Teachers keeping jobs. Yeah.
It's okay, one day suspension for children. Knowing
these
they got, and some of these children already have
suspension.
Passed, huh?
Girl, they got in school suspension for doing that shit to that little boy. One day in school suspension. You see? You ain't finna find it, y'all. I just want to tell y'all, this is it. Take them out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Take them out. I don't know what your state is like, and I don't know what state is like in your town as far as homeschool, but there are private schools online. I just want to tell you that. And there are homeschool online. You know what I'm saying? And maybe we can talk about that a little bit later, but now give us some sports, because I have
well,
to,
you know,
I have to pay my water bill.
Okay. I was going to say, hey, where does all this behavior come from? It's ingrained in the world of sports. Go ahead and look at shows like NFL, the shit that's about to come on called Hard Knock. And they got a show on the NFL Network called Welcome to the NFL, Rookie. They show men being tied up to a goalpost, duct taped all around. And then where the veterans, so to speak, shave their heads. Pour milk over them. All kinds of shit. This goes down. You know, this is what they do. Shit, I was a part of a hazing in college. Ours was with drinking. You know, blindfold you and make you take shots. You know, this shit happens all the time. The shit is sick and it needs to stop. And these coaches, like you just heard, these so-called supervisors and teachers all know it goes down. They've ingrained it into a culture. We are in Rome, y'all. This is Rome. Get out your heads that this is America. This is Rome. This is... So you can either choose to participate or not. With that being said, we're going to go over here and talk about these sports. Starting with the NBA, they finally got their parade on. All the lovers of LeBron James and so on and so forth stood outside for hours and waited to watch them ride by and wave. I never understood that going to a goddamn parade, but they did. As the Miami Heat collect their second championship, their second in 3 years in a row of going to the NBA Finals. I tell you, man, I see the whole thing these days. All right, sources say Doc Rivers, they wasn't able to negotiate a trade between the Clippers and the Celtics to bring over the coach and KG, but they end up getting the coach anyway. Glenn, a.k.a. Doc Rivers, pending league approval, have negotiations in principle to become the next head coach of the L.A. Clippers. And let me tell you something. David Stern, man, that nigga, man, he is the black hand. He goes and tells people who can have a trade and who cannot make a trade. That is just really unseen. You know what I'm saying? You really don't see this happen in the world of professional sports where a commissioner goes, nah, I don't like that trade. Even though you two teams agreed in principle, y'all like it, I said no. See, this goes back to what I didn't get to it on my show, but this is the rigging of the leagues. Like I said, I got firsthand knowledge of how this is done. They go behind the scenes. Anytime you think you see that lottery draft is real, it is not. They know exactly who's going to get that ball. They know exactly who's going to get the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 picks. They know. And they do it according to region and economic situations. How the hell you think LeBron James gets on the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2002? How do you think he makes it to Cleveland where he's from, Cleveland? Out of all the teams, Cleveland gets the number one spot. That's not a coincidence, people. There's no such thing as a coincidence. How you think in 1983, Patrick Ewing goes to the biggest media market in basketball called the New York Knicks when they first instituted the lottery? They do it all for the money and for the ratings. Nothing is by chance. And we're speaking of that, it's coming up again. Y'all make sure we're going to try to bring it to you Thursday live, the NFL draft, right here on WGAG Radio. Yeah. Don't do there. That being said, we move over to the NFL. Yeah, it's right around the corner, y'all. Camps is about to start up after the 4th of July. So your favorite teams are signing up their, still signing up their draft picks. The number 2 overall, Jokel, signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The number 2 overall pick, the offensive lineman, finally gets his deal done with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Family wants justice, they say, in that slain New England, slain with the young boy. Man, he wasn't a boy who was with the New England's tight end. I'm going to get into that a little later because I got some more information on that one. Roger Goodell is trying to convince all parents that the NFL is getting safe. He said on Friday the league accepts and is taking leadership role in improving sports safety on all levels. You can't protect what you can't protect. I don't care what you do to the equipment. The players are bigger, faster, and stronger. Therefore, the collisions are going to be high impact and more dangerous. Okay? It's like saying, I have a new Maserati. It goes 225, but we put rhubarb in the inside. Still dangerous. If you don't believe me, look at NASCAR. Do they still not have accidents that are deadly for all the safety they have in NASCAR? Helmets, bars, rolling bars on the inside, all that shit. They still have casualties. So what makes anybody think that the NFL is going to be more safer? Because they're taking the responsibility of being safe. Get out of here with that bullshit. So that's coming up around the corner, y'all. NFL, we're going to still bring this to you live right here on WGAG Radio. We know y'all like to watch them throw that pigskin around, see who's going to run for 225 yards and what receiver is going to have three touchdowns on the day. All right, we go to baseball. We can swing sticks and go yard and hit the ball long. Minnesota Twins beat the Indians at a score of 5-3. The Rockies beat the Washington Nationals by a run, beat them 7-6. Juan Encarnacion and Johnson lift the Jays to win their 11th in a row. They win at a score of 13-5. Right backs Harvey as the Mets blank the Phillies at a score of 8-0. Yeah, we got the Tigers beating the Red Sox 7-5. Atlanta Braves handle business as they beat the Milwaukee Brewers at a score of 7-4. New York Yankees go down by the hands of their AL East rival, the Rays, at a score 3-1. Sweeney career high 6 RBIs. Pace the Cubs as they beat the Houston Astros at a score of 14-6. The White Sox go down to the Royals, Kansas City Royals, that is, by a score of 7-6. Giants lose to the woeful Marlins at a score of 7-5. The Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Anaheim Angels at a score of 10-9. Gonzalez Ramirez homers late to lift the Dodgers past the Padres at a score of 3-1. The A's go down to the Mariners at a score of 6-3. Reds beat the Diamondbacks by 4-2 as Matt Latos strikes out 13 in that win right there. And last game of the evening played on the AL side, the Rangers, Texas Rangers, beat the St. Louis Cardinals at a score of 2-1. All right, we about to get into some of this gossip, man, and it's getting good in tennis. Not only are they currently right now playing in Roland Garros, today is the first day of the Wimbledon, y'all, 2013 All England Club Wimbledon, where Serena is not only the defending champion, but her and Sharapova are taking shots at each other through the media, subliminally, straight out. It's just no holds bar. We already know how Serena got a little bit of flack for the truth that she spoke about that young girl in the Ohio rape case, but now she went after Maria Sharapova, who was her top nemesis in tennis. It's not really a nemesis if you continually beat that ass. Is it really a nemesis, or is it that they just don't, or they just jealous? Because a nemesis usually gets one from you, you know. A nemesis usually, like, on a TV show goes, I got him this time, and then, like, the hero comes back, and then they go head up with the nemesis. It's not a nemesis when it's, like, 13-0 in majors. You know, that's not a nemesis. That's just called envy. But nonetheless, this is what's happening right now. After beating Maria Sharapova in the French Open, this Rolling Stones article, I got to read it, because all this shit is stemming from this Rolling Stones article. Yeah, she's 13-2, I am on, but she's won 13 in a row, okay? You know, she's won 13 matches in a row. So even though it was 13-2, yeah, those two wins came probably when Serena was more than likely out of shape or was coming off an injury. She's been 13-0. Like, for the last couple of years. She, like, Maria Sharapova hasn't even been close, you know. I think the last time Maria Sharapova beat her was in the U.S. Open about 3 years ago, when Serena had that so-called meltdown when she told the referee that I would smash this ball and shove it down your throat. She told the sideline judge, I'll take this ball and shove it down your throat if you call me for another footfall. That's what she said. But check it out. This is what's happening with her and Maria Sharapova. She says in this Rolling Stones article, there are people who live, breathe, and dress tennis. I mean, seriously, give it a rest. Serena exits the car, and the conversation moves on to the top five player who is now in love. Now, if y'all don't know who this top five player is, they're saying this is a subliminal diss. So this is like a rapper who talk about somebody without shouting out their name. He says she begins every interview with, I'm so happy, I'm so lucky, it's so boring, Serena says, allegedly, says Serena in a loud voice. She's still not going to be invited to all the cool parties. And hey, and if she wants to be with a guy with a black heart, go for it. Now, supposedly she's talking about Maria Sharapova. Now, I don't even know who Maria Sharapova is dating. I really don't care. More than likely, it's probably like a Russian hockey player or some shit like that, because that's the kind of type she go for. She go with her own kind. On the other hand, Serena She loves that tamahoo. She's over there with a French man right now. Let me give y'all the picture if y'all want to see it. I'll drop it in the BTR chat room for all y'all who wants to see who she dating right now. I'm like, only thing I can say, I guess his pockets are long. I don't know what the fuck she's thinking. But this is what Maria Sharapova says back in return. She says, obviously, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Serena and what she's achieved on the court. If she wants to talk about something personal, maybe she should talk about her relationship with her boyfriend who married and is getting a divorce and he has children. Talk about other things and not draw attention to all these other things. Serena was confirmed, in fact, in a relationship with a Frenchman, although she has avoided questions in relation on his marital status. Since they've gone forward in their public relationship, it has been confirmed. In fact, he's married then, he's married now, and has children as well. Wimbledon should be very interesting. I can say that for the least, because it's going to be back and forth all day. So Serena says this, since the tournament started, she says she was inadvertently brought into a situation by presumption. Oh, just tell you how this says she was inadvertently brought into a situation by assumptions made by a reporter, Serena says. So she's saying she wasn't talking about Maria. She's saying her shit was taken out of context. Well, now that makes you think we got to go back and look at who's the top five tennis players in the world. And if it ain't, you ain't talking about Maria Sharapova. Either way it go, it's some Eastern European white chick, whether it be Azarenka, Victoria Azarenka, Kuzneskova, whatever way you want to go. He said, I personally talked to Maria at the players' party. He said, and look, I want to personally apologize to you if you were offended by being brought up into my situation. I want to take this moment to just pour myself, be open, and say I'm very sorry for this whole situation. So that's the flap between her and Maria Sharapova. On the other end, Antoine Walker wants to coach the Celtics. I guess he's looking to say, shit, a drunk-ass Jason Kidd can get a job as the New Jersey Nets head coach. Why can't I be the coach of the Boston Celtics? Maybe because you're not in that select group, Antoine. I told you, Jason Kidd is half white, and he has a really large head, and he probably gives really good heads. So he goes from player straight to coach. I don't know about you, Antoine. They was looking at your money situation and saying, nigga, you trying to do this for money. You can't coach. With that being said, also, look, Danny Ainge said he might come out of the booth, meaning he might come from being a general manager to the next coach of the Celtics. And let me tell you this, people, anytime you hear when a general manager has to come out of his managerial role and go coach the team, that means that the brass, a.k.a. the president of the team, is saying, yeah, you on your way to being fired. Because you know why? You put this team together, and we ain't winning, so you got to go coach the players that you put together. That's always a telltale sign. Remember that. And remember, you heard it from Nefertiti. Brandon Roy says, yeah, his basketball days are numbered. And I'm afraid to say, Brandon, they are. I enjoyed you as you played. Brandon Roy, if you don't know, he's a young man, probably about 26, 27 now, out of the plays for the Portland Trail Blazers. He has terrible knees. He has basically bone on bone. He tried to make two comebacks. It's not happening, baby. You just gotta start your second life. You gotta go to do something else, man. Use your other gifts that was given to you by the Most High and make it happen. And if you don't, go sit in a dark room and figure it out, because you're not shooting baskets any longer. All right. Scottie Pippen knocked out a man at a restaurant, according to TMZ. Scotty, man, Scotty knocked out a nigga. Oh, man. I don't know what happened, but if it ends with Scottie Pippen knocking somebody out, that means his manhood was tested, because everybody think Scotty is sweet as, like, fucking sweet potato pie, if you know what I mean. All right, we're going to go to this. This is the more absurd news before I get on out of here. I'm trying to wait for this article to come up. Man kills robber, right? Says man's killed robber and then gets back in line to buy his LeBron X sneakers. The Atlanta, how is this shit happening in Atlanta? It's either like Atlanta, L.A., or Chicago or New York. This shit is crazy. The Atlanta Journal.
Well, before we get even more crazier, sweetheart, you're going to have to run the switchboard.
What? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Just had to tell you that.
Okay. I see 804 has their mic open. I don't know.
Yeah, but close it if you want to, right. Or open it. I don't know. It's up to you.
All right, I leave it open. All right, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitutional, is reporting that an Atlanta man killed a would-be robber, then got back in line. He was in line to finish waiting on the purchase of a pair of sneakers. Reports are the large crowd of sneakerheads have been camped out days waiting for the release of the new LeBron X's EXT sneakers that was released on Saturday. Yeah, that's right in conjunction with them winning a title. But you know what that means. According to reports, the would-be robber with the handgun was going around threatening to pick pockets of people and take their sneakers. What robber goes around telling people, "I'm going to rob you"? I don't know where they do that at. Another man who was waiting in line got out of line, shot the would-be robber, and got back in line to purchase his shoes. So as he was making verbal threats, I guess, he was like, "Nigga, look at this guy, man. As soon as you get your shoes, man, I'm about to rob your ass with this gun and take your LeBrons." Then somebody said, "Nigga, I'm already strapped, nigga," and shot him and said, "Take that," and got back in line. Take that, and got back in line and got his shoes. Police have not charged anyone for now saying that. Hello, 804.
Go on for today.
Lord,
put him on mute, Neff.
Yes, I am.
How long would this long, drawn out surviving the game?
I'm about to be done. I knew this. I knew that was coming. I'm done.
I'm
sorry. I just went out. Earlier I went outside.
I understand.
My shower.
I know it's
stood
very
out
important.
In the air because it just rained and the air was so good that I got all this good.
Well, continue on.
Okay.
Don't let me stop that night.
This is it. This is the last part. It said police have not charged anyone. Now saying the shooting to be self defense. I guess if you say you're gonna commit a crime and then somebody takes you out, that is technically self-defense. No additional information is being released Sunday after Officer John Chaffee of the Atlanta Police Department spokesman. "He, the shooter, really stood up for us all," said Taylor White, who told Channel 2 that he was in line when the shooting happened. "I salute the homie that did that." And there you go. That's Neff TV Surviving the Game this Monday right here on the Don Nicolio Show, WGAG Radio. I'm out.
Okay, well, we certainly appreciate love it, man. Thank you so much, but I need you to run the switchboard.
I got you.
I am completely shot down for now. Anyway, man, I don't even know what the fuck to say now. I've just been waiting for so long to just get my show back and totally forgot what the fuck I was going to talk about now.
Oh, man, that was a long one. I got lost in the moment. I'm sorry.
I understand. It be like that sometime. I just tend not to get lost in the moment.
Okay.
But I do want to, let me give a special shout out, man. I need some hand claps, though, if you can make it happen.
Okay,
man.
You got it.
For everybody that's in attendance, man, Madam Teacher Lady, it's good to see you. Cedar, I said they. Would you need to change that name to L kind of fast? Because that's a Turkish. Bay is Turkish. It's not Moorish. It's not even Moor. It's not even, you never seen a bay. Anyway, man, all the guests tuning in, man, thank y'all so much, man. It's such a black day today, man, I tell you. It's going to storm. Is it going to storm? Oh, you said it was raining your way.
Yeah, it's raining out. It just finished doing its thing overnight.
Aha. Okay. I got some more news. It's just for the fucking hell of it. Now, where do I begin? The transgender boy, if anybody familiar with the transgender boy, 6 years old, well, he wins his right to use the girls' restroom at school.
Oh,
give me a hand clap.
You want a hand clap for that? I was about to say the damn garbage phone.
What you about to say, Neff?
I said I was going to do the goddamn garbage disposal.
Oh, well, do the garbage disposal then. That's
okay.
Fine. Okay,
ahead,
let me say it again. before you discover.
Okay.
The transgender, the little 6-year-old boy, well, he wins the right to use the girls' restroom at school now.
Okay, I can't. Go ahead. Continue to go on.
All right, so, yeah, the 6-year-old boy who believes he is a girl, he got a ding-a-lingy, won the right to use the girls' restroom at his school after his parents threatened to sue the Colorado school system. Still in Colorado, you see this shit? For requiring him to use a separate bathroom. Little boy name is Coy, of course. He was identified as a girl since he was 4 years old. Okay? All right? All right? He was pulled from Ingleside Elementary School, though, and homeschool while the lawsuit wound its way through the courts. Isn't that smart? Wow. His Caucasian mother takes him out until the suit is settled. Isn't that interesting, Neff?
Right.
A little bit different from niggas, ain't they? Nigger
right.
mothers.
Right.
Baby. Niggers' mama would have still had a child in school.
Right.
And won't even sue for shit either, by the way.
Right, after
okay.
way worse shit happens to their children.
Absolutely. So he has not undergone a sex change operation, though, so therefore he is still physically a boy. Coy parents, Catherine and Jeremy Mathis, were shocked that the school prohibited their child, who has boy genitals, from using a girl's restroom. Come on now. Some white folk shit, yo. This automatically singles her out and stigmatizes her. That's what Catherine Mathis said. She said it sets her up for future harassing and bullying and creates an unsafe environment. The school has a wonderful opportunity to teach students that differences are okay and we should embrace their differences instead of teaching them to discriminate against someone who is a little different. Divine.
Shit is crazy. Looking for the
sobbing. Won the fucking lawsuit.
I'm looking for the sobbing and crying button. This is some bullshit.
Oh, it's down there. The decision was made by Colorado Civil Rights Division, NAACP. I'm just kidding. On Sunday, y'all, that the Fountain Fort Carson School District created an unnecessarily hostile situation for Coy Mathis by not allowing her to use the female bathroom. Now it's a her. So in other words, we're just going to ignore that this little motherfucker has a dick. We're just going to ignore that this little boy has a ding-a-ling, y'all,
right.
And dress like a girl. We just going to ignore that, right? Damn. The fuck is going on this planet, yo? We just going to ignore this.
Right.
Everybody's just going to ignore that little boy got a dick, he going to the girl's bathroom. Yeah, I guess it wouldn't look right for a girl or somebody to look like a girl to walk into the boy's bathroom. So they're just making it all based on what it looks like than rather
right.
than what it is. So because he dressed like a girl now, I would give you the link, but unfortunately my computer internet is not working.
You got two callers, so I'm going to let you finish up the story.
Yeah, I got some who?
You have callers. I'm going to.
No, do I?
Yes, you have callers.
Oh, I can't. I'm so glad you're here, Neff. Okay, well, just bring them on.
You want to bring them on? Or you want to finish your?
Yeah, bring them on. I'm that news is a motherfucker. I tell you.
Yes, it is. All right, we got 412. Can I get a mic check? And 281. You on the Donna Colleone show?
Hey, what's up, Donna? It's B Moya.
Okay, wait. One at a time. I need B first. I think I hear B. Is this B?
Yeah, 412. That's B.
All right, can I get applause for B?
Absolutely.
Damn, I'm so late on production.
I'm new on this production thing. Give me a second, God. Okay, here we go.
Wow.
Okay,
and we wonder why Glad is kicking our ass.
All right, now tell it, B, and the brother, the two, is it two? 281?
281.
Can I get a mic check?
Hey, what's up? It's B Moya.
Hey, B Moya.
B Moya.
Oh, Moya. Hey, yeah. B Moya. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to jump in on that convo. First of all, if 6 years old, going to be able to use the women's restroom, has male genitalia, what's going to happen? Next thing you're going to know, he's going to be sticking it in some girl in the restroom, and they're going to be a rape case.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
You don't think? I mean, there's already hazing in school and people doing all that stuff.
But then again, girls do hump each other, too, because he's a little six-year-old. So I think that'll be perfect. Put a boy in a dress and let the little girls hump him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I don't know. I can't, I don't know, because he lives his life as a girl. And now, you know, he can go to the girls' restroom. I wonder how these girls going to take it. They're going to be suspended and shit. They start to pick on that motherfucker. Y'all know that, right?
I will file a lawsuit because this motherfucker was born with genitalia as a boy. And he's violating my daughter now for going in the fucking girls' bathroom.
Exactly.
So it would be a lawsuit on his mama and at school.
How would the little six-year-old boy be violating? Help us out.
Because he's a boy, and he should be using the men's bathroom, the boys' bathroom facilities. He should not be in there with little girls. So, therefore, that's what he was born with. That is what he genetically is. There's no getting around, whether she want to dress him up as a fucking clown. He is a fucking boy.
I would think, you know, even as a six-year-old, what if he just still, like, pulls his dick out in front of those girls? You know?
Right. Like, he's violating
them. Yeah, look what I got.
Yeah. I would let him go ahead and do it, and then I would file a fucking law. The money she's getting, she's going to hand it over to me.
Okay, check this shit out, okay? All right. Here's what happens, okay? Transgender advocates are hailing the decision as a major step forward to transgender rights. Now, mind you, the little boy ain't even a fucking girl, okay? By not allowing Coy to use the girls' restroom, the Eagleside Elementary School in Fontaine creates an environment rife with harassment. And that's what Stephen Chavez, the division director, wrote in the decision, okay? Now, W. Kelly Dew, the lawyer for the Fontaine-Fort Carson School District 8, told CNN that the school took into account not only Coy but other students in the building, their parents, and the future impact a boy with male genitals using a girl's bathroom would have as Coy grew older, because you know the dick going to get big, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is what he added, okay? I'm certain you can appreciate that as Coy grows older and his male genitals develop along with the rest of his body, at least some parents and students are likely to become uncomfortable with his continued use of the girls' restroom. The Mathis case was the first to challenge restrictions on transgender. This nigga's not even a transgender. He's a cross-dresser.
Right.
I'm so glad I ain't in Colorado.
Big-ass fucking hairy-ass teenager going to be walking in the bathroom now with a fucking girl.
Right.
With hairy legs and a dress on.
They tried to start this shit up. Like, I remember talking about it on your show, Don. I think you were away when I hosted one time, and they tried to bring this about with adults, and it was like, and it got shot down. So I think GLAAD just put this shit together and said, we got to do it with the children. We have to get them to accept this shit from the children first and make it a rights thing for young people, and then we can come on in. Because this was some shit that was brought up with grown men trying to go into the women's bathroom. It was I forget what.
Grown cross-dressing men?
Yes. Yes. It was a while back, maybe a couple months
ago.
Well,
you know that's coming now, since they're going to use this little boy as the poster child to break the barrier.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's coming. And it's coming in the schools. Here we go again, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go again, because let's not get it twisted, even though this is a Caucasian family, but we know for a fact that there's the first boy princess that we've ever saw was from a black family, and that little nigga was about 8 years old, 6 to 8 years old. Do y'all remember the boy princess with the black family that was on Good Morning America or whatever?
Right.
That was about 3 years ago, so let's say the nigga's either 10, 11, or 9 now, or 8. Yeah, so you know they're going through that shit, too. So this is going to break the whole, this is going to break that barrier shit as far as the schools are concerned. But B, what we say, it's up to the scum bucket nigga bitch to either be for it or against it, but she wouldn't give a fuck, would she?
Nah.
My bitch don't fight for nothing.
Nah, only thing she'll fight for, she'll bust a bitch upside her head if she's fucking with her nigga.
Her man, yeah.
She, yeah, her nigga, because he ain't no man.
Mm.
She don't fuck with men. Men wouldn't even touch her.
Yeah.
Scumbucket bitch. You know what I'm talking
about? Right.
Hello, boyfriend. So she
I would represent my damn self in this case, filing a lawsuit against this bitch and that little boy, let him walk in that fucking bathroom while my daughter's in there.
No, I'm thinking about how Don say everybody, you know, the parents need to come together in situations like this. Like you said, with them nigga bitches, they gonna come together to do nothing. This is when the numbers mean something.
Yeah, and then remember, like, the majority of this is so crazy. We having, like, a news discussion on nigger bitches. But let's consider the fact that the majority of the nigger bitches doesn't even know what the fuck goes on in their children's school.
Right.
Right, because a lot of them don't. Yeah, a lot of them don't go on. They have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so they wouldn't know. You know, their child come home and be like, Mama, you won't believe it, man. We got a goddamn nigga that dressed up like a bitch in our school and use the girls' bathroom. They be like, boy, if you don't get up out of my face with that, honey, you see me busy.
Right.
Yeah, but that's what it's about to get down to. It's coming. It's getting ugly. So we got the boys that's being sodomized from, we know for a fact, from 6 to about 16 years of age.
Right.
And then we have this as well going on. I ain't even finished. It's so much shit, man. It's so much crazy ass shit going on. This is what the fuck this shit is, man. I got one for y'all. I know y'all like him. A lot of people love this man. Zimmerman. A lot of black people fell in love with him. Zimmerman jury is set. All women, no blacks. Isn't this? He certainly get the right to have a jury of his peers, don't he? Six whites and one Hispanic, okay? That's the jury. It was set, 6 whites and one Hispanic. The jury is comprised of all women. All women. Ain't that cute?
Yeah, all white women. I'm so scared of those Trayvon types. They just
Zimmerman was charged, of course, with second-degree murder in the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin on February 2012. Zimmerman claimed self-defense, saying he feared for his life when he left the safety of his truck to pursue the when I left the safety of my truck. I love the way Sandra Rose wrote this shit. When he pursued the unarmed teenager who was returning home from a convenience store. Under Florida law, of course, 12 jurors are required only when the death penalty is being considered. So that's why you have your 7 jurors, all women, okay? None blacks. All right, now here's this coming from the Hip Hop Inquirer, okay? Now, the Hip Hop Inquirer has been in the courtroom during the selection process, and while there have been several black jurors interviewed by both sides, today both defense and the prosecution have used their 10 allowed pre-imperatory strikes to exclude people of color for one reason or another. In particular, George Zimmerman's defense attorney Mark O'Mara spent an exceptional amount of time questioning black jurors on their bias as it related to the case. B-29, the profile of jurors selected, are broken down as follows. Here we go. B-29, a Hispanic woman who moved to Florida from Chicago 4 months before the trial began. She has been married 10 years and has 8 children. Her oldest son is 20. Clap for her. Now.
Okay. You're a fucking actor.
Okay. You already know it, right? Well, you're the only one to know this shit, B. You're the only one to know that this shit ain't real. But you're the only one. Everybody else believes it. But anyway. Go ahead with what you saying that they are active before I move on to the next actor.
They lived for 4 months. What, 3 or 4 months before this shit started? Yeah, how convenient.
Right.
Say what?
She moved down there right before the jury selection. Oh, right.
Yeah, right. 4 months before. California? Well, no, Chicago. Okay,
yeah,
here we go. B-76, a white woman who previously owned a construction company with her husband. She lives in Seminole County since 1995. She has 2 children. Her older son is 28. Is a foreclosure divorce lawyer. Clap, Neff. Coming up, juror B-37, a white woman married with 2 daughters, animal rescue volunteer, has multiple pets. Husband is a space attorney, works with rockets. Father was Air Force captain, 18-year Seminole County resident. Clap. Next juror, B-51, white woman, retired from real estate, 9-year Seminole County resident in Central Florida since 1987, was juror 3 years ago in a 1991 in Orange County. Clap. Coming up, juror E-6. White woman, husband is an engineer. Children are 11 and 13, unemployed. Volunteers at kids' school. 2-year in Seminole County resident. Had lived in Orange County.
Stop.
I wasn't finished.
I know.
Had lived in Orange County since 2004. And certainly last but not least, all women of the Zimmerman, the Trayvon trial. Jury E-40, white woman, moved to Florida from Iowa in November 2012. Works as a safety officer. Husband is a chemical engineer. Son is 28 years old. Was on jury 20 years ago in Philadelphia. Drug dealing case. And there y'all have it. The Zimmerman jury set, all women, no blacks. Oh, man. Niggers are going to fucking have a goddamn ball on this one.
Straight
up. Gods must be crazy. There y'all have it. That's your Zimmerman's jury pool, y'all. All Caucasian women, 1 Hispanic, they say. And there it is. See, Big Sal believe it. Yep, burn, Florida, burn. Oh, my God. B, do you want to tell all the Christians about this whole Jesus wasn't crucified, it was only made to look that way situation? Would you like to explain that to some of them?
Yeah, I don't think you can at this point. So.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Let them go ahead and rally and march so they can set forth the new laws then about protesting and take all the asses to jail.
Well, speaking of Zimmerman, now that you mentioned it, I have a clip I would like to show you, let you listen to it. Y'all gonna fucking love this shit, I swear to God. Zimmerman lawyer opens trial with a knock-knock joke. Isn't that cute? Today. Right. George Zimmerman defense attorney kicked off the first day of trial in the high-profile case with a knock-knock joke. Don West admitted that his approach was a bit weird in the context of the death of Trayvon Martin, but told jurors, all the women now, in his opening statement, except for black women, that they are the perfect audience for the bit. Do I need to be him? Okay, let me act it out.
Yes.
The attorney. Let me say, I would like to tell you a little joke. I know how that may sound a bit weird in this context under these circumstances, but I think you're the perfect audience, keyword, the perfect audience for it. As long as you don't, if you don't like it or don't think it's funny or inappropriate, that you don't hold it against Mr. Zimmerman. Okay, hold it against me if you want, but not Mr. Zimmerman. I have your assurance you won't. Hear how it goes. You ready, Neff?
Let's go.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman who?
All right, good. You're on the jury.
Good Lord have mercy.
Wow. You gotta fucking love this shit. Let me play the clip.
You have to laugh to keep from crying. So let me, at considerable risk, let me say, I'd like to tell you a little joke. I know how that may sound a bit weird in this context under these circumstances, but I think you're the perfect audience for it. As long as you if you don't like it or you don't think it's funny or inappropriate, that you don't hold it against Mr. Zimmerman. You can hold it against me if you want, but not Mr. Zimmerman. I have your assurance you won't. Here's how it goes. Knock, knock. Who's there? George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman who? All right, good. You're on the jury. Nothing? That's funny. After what you folks have been through the last 2 or 3 weeks.
There you have it. Y'all like it? Okay. Oh, wait. I'm starting to get addicted to the knock-knock joke. My bad. Popped up again. Here's the link so you guys can share that and make, and use that for your nigger rants and racist feelings on the whole Zimmerman and Trayvon thing. That's for that's for some of you emotional people, you know, pass it on to some more emotional niggerly niggers if you like. Yes. Damn, I feel like a black conservative now. What the fuck is going on with me?
Yes.
This is terrible, ain't it?
No, hey, this shit ain't real. So, of course, they got to try to conjure up all these emotions from people and make it look like it's real. Like, you just went through 2 and 3 weeks of grueling questioning because we just had to make sure you were that had no prior knowledge to Zimmerman and Trayvon. I mean, right. I mean,
come on. That shit was all around the fucking world.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I dropped the link in the chat room for those that might want to save it, email it out to a bunch of your niggerly friends that, you know, just to bring back up the emotions of Trayvon. I think it's good. I think it's provocative. It should work for anybody who wants to pass that on. Put it on Facebook, Twitter it, kick it, and goddamn Instagram it. And also you can do a 6-second Vine with it if you like. Okay, sorry, that's not funny to some people. I apologize. Oops, I forgot. I'm talking to the jurors today.
What did God do? Guests will say, you guys have no compassion.
Yeah, right, you have no compassion. Nah, nigga, right. I just, you just know when this shit is some bullshit. But let me tell you something. Moments before that joke, though, the prosecution objected to West's comments about his family history and the sayings of his mother. The lawyer informed the jury that he, listen, grew up in a family that has certainly moments of great joy and moments of profound sadness. My mother used to actually, she still says, he began, before the judge sustained the prosecution objection, and he moved on to the joke. So that's what happens. Mm. That's what happened. So he was about to go into some bullshit. Anyway, of course, you know that, you know, in this mock trial, Zimmerman pleaded not guilty to charges of second degree and of second-degree murder and claims that he shot Martin in self-defense. The prosecution is arguing that Zimmerman racially profiled Martin, stalked, and killed him. Now, I just want to let y'all know, because I know that, let me tell you what I know that black people is good at doing. You got to be mindful of black people today and tomorrow and to other tomorrow and the three morrows and the four morrows and the five morrows and on and on. It's probably going to last for about probably 3 weeks. How long do you think this mock trial is going to last?
I was going to say 2. You gave it
okay,
3.
Weeks.
Okay,
2 weeks. Okay. Okay, so let's say the second week after the so-called jury, just be mindful of the your Negro friends on Facebook or at your job and things of that nature, because they're going to be highly upset. So the best thing you can do, because you trust me, you don't want to offend a nigger when they're emotional. Niggers are already emotional over Paula Deen, and I haven't even got into that shit yet. Okay, they having a nervous breakdown over this Paula Deen thing. So I can imagine what they're going to have over this Zimmerman thing. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So just don't feed into it. Don't piss them off. Let the niggers have it. It's very important that they gotta have it. Mind you, the majority of niggers are Christians and they believe everything anyway. And let's not forget, listen, blatant injustice. And let's not forget that your federal government, signed off by the Supreme Court, said that we can lie to you. It's legal.
Right.
To get away with it. Okay.
Niggas gotta
so,
keep that in
yeah.
the forefront of their mind. Don. They gotta keep that at the forefront. Of their mind.
Yeah, but they ain't.
Right.
Because remember, like, they're Adamites. They're fucking forgetful. They're
right.
under amnesia. So ain't nothing you can do about that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you know, you can remind a loved one, like, nigga, you know that shit ain't real, right? Remember the Adamites? Amnesia, motherfucker, we've been under 6,000 years sleep. Oh, shit. Thank you, motherfucker, for helping me remember. Yeah, so only motherfuckers that you cool with that might fuck around and start to believe some bullshit, then, yeah, nephew, right, just drop that pearl on them. You know, those that might have started to believe in the bullshit, then, yeah, give it to them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, give it to them, because this is what they're doing. This is, and mind you, Fireline has said that, what's that shit, Court TV was taken off?
Right, they're going on a fucking hiatus.
Right, well, it's on YouTube, boo-boo. Hold on.
Live updates on YouTube.
Keep going there.
Okay, live updates on YouTube, no Court TV. See, now, if motherfuckers don't understand or overstand or understand, as our brother would say, who used to call me in hot, that because of that, they want to feed you snippets that they only want you to see. They're doing live updates like a fucking tournament that has no live coverage, really. So they can come in and give you the information of the trial in the manner they want you to see it. And they can give you snippets on the manner and that they want you to see it. So like Don said, you got to remember who you're dealing with. You got to remember who you're dealing with. This shit is not real. It's made to conjure up emotions, people. So you got to remember that. Anytime they're not letting you make a judgment for yourself or you can point out the fakeness in it, because that's what you can always do when you have video. You can always go back and rewind and look and rewind and look and see for yourself. They don't want you to be afforded that opportunity. They want to feed you what they want you to see.
Exactly.
Take that.
Take that. Yeah. All right, so are we done with the whole Zimmerman shit? You know, this is... Oh, my Lord, honey. Okay. All right, here's one for you. This is going to make you laugh. pork lace bullets designed to send Muslims straight to hell. You gotta fucking love this shit. There's another one for you, man. Check this. I found this on Facebook, right? And so, you know, the nigger Muslims, right? Poor nigger Muslims. This motherfucker put on his Facebook, he the one that posted this shit and said, man, they really got it out for us. Nigga, they ain't thinking about you, motherfucker. You ain't no damn Muslim nigga. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, you ain't no damn Muslim. You a black man. You've already profiled to get locked up, not for being a terrorist, nigga, but for being a nigga, nigga.
That's right.
Pork lace bullets designed to send Muslims straight to hell, man. This shit is crazy as fuck. You don't believe me, man? Here is the link right here. Hopefully you motherfuckers can enjoy that. Send it to your little nigger Muslim friends because he's going to swear it's for them. That's just how niggas are. Okay, they swear this shit is all about them every fucking time. Anyway, okay, so here we are in Spokane, Washington, okay? Mm-hmm. Still angry about the idea of an Islamic culture center opening near Ground Zero, a group of Idaho gun enthusiasts decided to fight back with a new line of pork-laced bullets. It's some pretty bullets, too. You should see it. It's gorgeous now if you click on it.
Yeah,
Soft Fork Industries now, based in Dalton Gardens, Idaho, claims its ammunition called Jihog ammo. Like jihad?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jihog.
They are nice bullets. They are must.
Jihog ammo, okay, is a defensive deterrent to those who violently attack in the name of Islam. The bullets are coated in pork-infused paint, y'all, with the company states makes the ammo haram or unclean, and therefore will keep a Muslim who's shot with one of the bullets from entering paradise. Because, you know, remember now that Muslims can't go into paradise if they got pork in their ass. And they
Lord.
So with jihog ammo, you don't just kill an Islamic terrorist. You also send his ass straight to hell, okay? That should give would-be martyrs something to think about before they launch an attack. If it ever becomes necessary to defend yourself and those around you, or our ammo works on two levels. This is the company now. That's what the company said in a press release earlier this month. The company's website bills the bullets as peace through pork. Ain't that cute? Peace through pork and a peaceful and natural deterrent to radical Islam. That's their slogan or whatever that shit says.
Right.
There's a related line of apparel, though, that features slogans like, put some ham in mo' ham, Ed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like jigaboo language. Get the fuck out of here.
Put some ham in Mohammed. In Mohead. Wow. Mohammed. Anyway, that's another slang saying. And a Target poster that says, give them a spanking with some bacon. Y'all gotta laugh at this shit, man. For real. It's Monday. Come on now, for real.
Right.
Line up. So the nullifying principle of our product, says the company's owner, is only effective if you are attacked by Islamists in jihad. The company's website says otherwise our ammo functions just like any other ammunition. So we obviously insist upon defensive use of our ammo, only not offensive, okay? And there's more on that if y'all like to read more on that shit. But that, wait, let me just go ahead and fucking read it. This shit is good. Okay, so company officials declined requests to comment, though. However, Shannon Don, assistant professor of religious studies at Gonzaga University, said South Fork's concept is based on an inaccurate understanding of the Quran. There is no penalty for coming into contact with pork given by the Quran, she said, pointing to verses that prohibit the consumption of pork and carrion that are reminiscent of Jewish dietary laws outlined in Leviticus. And this is what I had to say. To my knowledge, Muslims, especially unknowingly, would not be banned from heaven for eating or getting hit by pork, she said. There are some interpreters who suggest that Muslims should eat pork rather than starve if faced with that alternative. Nevertheless, the AMMO has plenty of supporters, with more than 4,300 people liking it on Facebook. All right, and mind you, a Muslim dude put this shit on, okay, and I end up liking it. 10,000 motherfuckers shared this article on Facebook. Mm. 6,332 motherfuckers made a comment on it. But anyway, so basically 4,300 people liking it on Facebook. One fan, Ted of California, said he planned to buy 500 rounds. Another, Jeffrey, said he hoped someone would smuggle the bullets into the U.S. military troops. Wow. This is your government. This is what your government had everybody to believe that Muslims will. Black, that's, I ain't got shit to say. Oh, did they have the Million Youth Man March, Malik Shabazz and Farrakhan and them cats? Did they have that already?
I don't know. I didn't hear about it.
I didn't hear about that.
Okay, that means it ain't came yet. It's probably be here on June 26th then or something.
They got poor PR. They didn't even put the word out.
You're right. Poor PR is called Facebook. And that's why I saw it.
Okay.
I know. That's crazy, right? All right, moving right along. I'm going to knock this shit out because I got another hour on this fucking show.
Yeah.
It's some bullshit. Oh, I got something real nice to share with y'all. Y'all want to see something spooky? You won't be able to see it, B. But I'll tell y'all, for those that want to see it, if they get to a computer soon, just type in ancient Egyptian statue has begun moving on its own and is freaking out museum staff and sparking investigation. Matter of fact, you can go to YouTube and type in relic walks like an Egyptian, okay? But it made it before it made news, okay? Cursed artifacts, particularly ones from Egypt, they say, are constantly a source of inspiration for Hollywood. But after management at a British museum started noticing a statue move on its own accord, some are wondering whether or not to take some inspiration from Hollywood and run. Okay? Curators at the Manchester Museum, okay, says that they've had this particular relic, a piece of history dating back 1800 BC, on display for 80 freaking fucking years. But it wasn't until several weeks ago when they began to notice its mysterious movements. The statue is usually buried with its mummy in an ancient Egyptian belief. If the mummy is destroyed, then the spirit can take up residence in the statue that accompanied it. Now, didn't I tell y'all that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, they inhabit the statue. It is the case here. Is that the case here? The video below, or the video that I dropped in the chat room as well, is a time lapse of the statue moving, y'all. It seems to turn a full 180 degrees, sound familiar, from where it began. Skeptics. B, did you do this part? Skeptics say that it must be caused by heavy it must be caused by heavy trucks or something natural making vibrations to make the statue move, but the museum curator points out that none of the other statues and relics are moving, and this has only begun with the one statue weeks ago and has been in the museum for 85 years. Okay?
I got to see it.
Are you looking at it?
I want to look at it, too.
I need to know, are y'all looking at it? For those that, you know, need to, whatever the fuck that shit called, it's called Relic Walks Like an Egyptian, EGYPTIAN. And let me know what y'all think about it when y'all see it. Okay? Are you looking at it, Doc? Black blatant injustice. Do y'all see this shit?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, what would be the point of the statue turning in a 180 degree? I mean, what the fuck is that? Do some karate walk, fucking talk.
Well,
what
when you see it, like, these are just days. It took days for it to turn.
Then that's fucking nothing. If it fucking turned around, what the fuck is that?
Are you watching it, B?
No, I will.
Mm-hmm.
No,
oh, okay. No, it's the trucks, like you said. Now, let me tell y'all something. I have an ancient Egyptian store, okay? And, yes, and my store sits on a road where all big-ass 18-wheeler trucks go, because this is what your skeptic said. And, yes, my store vibrates. I do want to tell you that. Everything vibrates. And sometimes it feel like that my door is open because these big-ass trucks have to, you know what I'm saying, bend a huge right, you know, past my store. They have to make huge right turns to go past it. Mm-hmm. And my store sits on the corner. Okay? So, yes, my store do vibrate. Yes, 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 yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically saying it ain't the fucking trucks because, you know, the trucks go by all the fucking time and woo-woo, but this shit is moving on its own. And none of the other statues are moving. So there you have it. So you're able to look at it. You can see the other statues where it's standing next to on there, okay?
How long of a time lapse did it take for it to go in a 180-degree?
I don't know, but you can do the math on it when you watch it.
They say days?
Because it's the camera in the museum that's showing it. So it shows that the people, you know what I'm saying, people coming and going, and then at nighttime it moves. And then it's back up, and then it moves again when the museum closes. And then it opens back up, and then the museum closes, and then it moves again. So it's moving at a 180-degree angle by that time. So it does it. And it's so interesting because, let me tell you something, I ain't trying to add this shit because it could be a fake or whatever. But I just remember this little boy said to me, he came in my store and he said, I know they come to life at night. And what he said about my little Egyptian relics. He said, don't they? They come to life at night. But, of course, he's been watching a lot of Night at the Museum. Okay, Big Sav said 10 days, 10 days, B. 10 days. But let's not forget the key word here. The key word is that the statue is usually buried with its mummy, and in ancient Egyptian belief, if the mummy is destroyed, then the spirit can take up residence in the statue that accompanied it. Okay? Now, I know for a fact that spirits inhabit any fucking thing. They can possess a statue. I just know that. I know that's kind of crazy to be talking about this, but I know they do. I've seen it possess the statue.
Well, shit, that's a waste of fucking possession if they can just turn in a fucking circle within 10 days.
That's not really a waste of possession, but we're talking about 1,800 years. It's a lot of crazy shit going on. Wouldn't you say, B? No.
Yeah. Well, I would say that is one. Because that makes no fucking sense. If I'm a deity, a god, and I'm going to possess something, I'm going to be able to do more than turn in a fucking circle in 10 days.
Exactly. See? Well, we'll see what happens. But there you have it with your little statue turning around doing a 180-degree turn. I mean, it's possible, you know. It'd be good if it was real. Like, shit like this is when I wish it was real. But I can believe it is because I've seen
shit like
this.
I would love to see something like that be real, and it's something, you know, that makes sense. But, I mean, come on, a fucking circle. I mean... Okay,
yeah, or they just could be using it to attract more people into the museum now. Could be a gimmick. You know what I'm saying? It certainly could be a gimmick.
Yeah, they want people to come look at it.
Yeah, it could be a gimmick to attract more people into their little British museum and shit. But I will say this, man, when they fucking bought Anubis, and I said this before, They brought Anubis, King Tut, and all the motherfuckers to Georgia. All hell broke loose. And Anubis stayed outside. And I think I don't like this particular Anubis. But he stayed outside he was mounted in front of a building. I think it might have been a museum that they had all the other, that they had King Tut, you know what I'm saying, statues. Remember King Tut was traveling about 2-3 years ago around the world and then made it to Georgia for a certain amount of time. And during that time, that's when everything got flooded. Georgia's Tech basketball game roof fell in. The Phillips Arena got flooded. All types of shit was going on when King Tut was here. It was crazy. Yes, never forget that day. I said, yep, they had no business bringing them little motherfuckers over here. I don't know why they play them games, why they, you know what I'm saying, you know, everywhere King Tut goes, hell breaks loose. Everywhere they bring them, they don't take heed, though. King Tut is real, man. I don't think nobody understand, man. Look, B, man, them fucking ancient Egyptians, man, they put curses on their shit. That's where the Native Americans, the Hopi tribe, get that shit from. When, like, if you go to, like, fucking Rock Eagle Mound and a few other places, but you'll see that sign that say, white man tread softly, motherfucker, and shit like that. Now, let's take it all the way to ancient Egypt, where that shit has curses written on the fucking thresholds and temples, or not temples, the fuck that shit called, pyramids and all, and temples and shit. Yeah, temples and pyramids and over the sarcophagus and shit, and even under the those jars, I forgot what you call them jars. I'm a little gone right now. But, yeah, all that shit, God damn it, them motherfuckers, that shit for real. Yeah, the Coptic jars. Thank you, Big Saf. Yeah, that shit for real like a motherfucker. I got a curse. I had to put a curse on my kitchen, motherfucker. Shit, my kitchen was fucking with my fucking niggas up. That shit for real. Thanks for reminding myself. God damn it. But that shit for real. You know they did that shit. You know the ancient Egyptians goddamn done left some shit on these motherfuckers, told these motherfuckers gonna open this shit in Hollywood, and I find it interesting. They mentioned Hollywood in this shit. Said people are now taking heed to Hollywood and just wanna run now. I ain't telling you blatant justice. You do what you do, boo. Speak it. I don't know what the fuck wrong with y'all niggas. Y'all always ask how do you do that. Y'all come on now. Finish my statement. Word equal sound equal
power.
God damn. Fuck. God damn. Like, you just say that shit. Well, I know what I say come to pass. You know what I'm saying? I put yes. Yes, I fucking do. You know what I'm saying? So go into it more for what? Like, the fuck? Like, see, the only difference between, you know, your words and mine, I know exactly what the fuck I'm saying. The only difference between your thought process and mine is you believe what you think, and I know what the fuck I think. I know my thoughts. You believe yours. So, now, there we go. End of the fucking discussion, okay? Because I'm not into this shit with you motherfuckers today. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, what y'all want me to be like? Some type of motherfucking fake-ass motherfucking be like, okay, lesson one. Bullshit. I'm just telling you, it's all mental. That's what the fuck everybody keep failing at. It's all mental. Goddamn. It's all fucking mental. That's it. Now, if you fucking second-guess your goddamn mind, that's your business. But I don't. I train mine. I keep telling y'all, the mind is a wild animal that needs to be trained. And if you're not training your mind, then God damn it, then you out of your mind. Because you got to train your mind first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So, shit, you got to train that motherfucker. And you got to know you got the fucking power. You got to know that shit. If you don't know you got the fucking power, if you believe that shit, that's your business. But you got to know that shit. You speak shit in existence. That's why most people need to be mindful of what the fuck they say.
That's right.
They need to first of all, they need to shut the fuck up. That's what the fuck they need to do. Just motherfuckers need to fucking duct tape their fucking mouth because they have not mastered the English language. And I told you, that's one language that is full of fucking spells. To me personally, I love to use the English language because it's full of more spells than any other language on this fucking planet. Yes, I said
right.
it. So it's easy to use the English language, but I do use other languages for certain other spells, for certain other things I need. You feel me saying? I don't use the English language for protection. I use Arabic for protection.
Love it. I don't understand why people can't get it if you just
and
said,
I use Nawabic for protection too. So those are the two languages that I use for protection. But I use English for curses because the whole English language is a curse language. Say what now, Neff?
I was saying I don't understand why people can't see what you're saying or just taking time to grasp that, because if words equal sound, you know, equal power, sound is a vibration. Vibration is all throughout the you know, the universe, the cosmos, everything is vibrational. Therefore, you send out frequencies.
Yeah, even thought.
Right, exactly.
Because yeah, you don't even really have to speak it. Just the fact that you thought it, la ilaha illallah.
That's right.
It happens.
It sends out a vibration.
That's why you have to be mindful of your thoughts as well. You got to be mindful of them thoughts, because thought has a vibration too. Before you can even have sound, it's thought. We're talking about thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that sends out a frequency, which is straight up magnetism. When you put a frequency out into the cosmos, it comes back. That's how you get, like, speak things into existence. It's rather simple to me. I don't know, but that's just...
Yeah. But remember now, we're still on thought. What a man think of, so shall it be. And that's the first principle of thought, or Tahuti, is what a man think of, so shall it be. So even your thoughts have vibration. So you can think something and it'll still happen.
Right.
So be mindful of your fucking thoughts. That's what's the most important thing. That's where your psychic self-defense has. You got to fucking have psychic self-defense in order for you to be mindful of your fucking thoughts. Because you could think yourself into misfortune or someone else you care about into a disaster. So be mindful of your fucking thoughts. You can think yourself a headache. You can think yourself into being sick. You can think yourself into all of that. And you can also think yourself into moving forward in your life, into having more prosperity. And you can think yourself into all of that. I keep telling y'all, this was thought. It's magic. It's magi.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's Uman and Thuman. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. 478, give me a mic check, please.
Mic check.
Hey, Atul, I'm so glad you're on the line. I want to say something, and I hope you don't forget your thought. But I want to apologize to you.
Okay,
and say, for what, Don?
For what, Don?
Okay, good. Glad you asked. I want to apologize because I know that I jumped the gun a little too fast when I don't know what show it was we were on, and you said that Dr. York said that a lot of the music in the 60s and 70s, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to try to paraphrase it, you know what I'm saying, they were singing in regards to the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? Of course you do.
I remember.
I want to apologize because I think I jumped the gun. I don't know what happened. I must have been on sugar a lot that day or something. I might have had too much root beer. But I will need to apologize, and I want to tell you I apologize for that. Now, I know you pushed one for something else. However, if I could go back in time, let's go back, you and I, back in time on that day, on that show, can you tell me again what you said to me?
We were talking about it came about through the somebody in the chat said something about the Tommy Sotomayor, and you know that's like the, and you're like the female version of Tommy Sotomayor, and you was like, he's the female version of Donna Corleone. And then I came in to say that this is interesting because I just started listening to him for this past week for the first time, and I was thinking about you. Anyway, I got to speed it up.
You just caught my thought.
So the things that he be saying about the, you know, black women, the beasties, you know, and all that stuff, and then you were saying how, yeah, you know, you wish you had, you know, a nigga like him who could be on your show, do a sort of a segment like that on your show and everything. Anyway, you had made a comment about, you know, the females, you know.
Music. Can we get to music?
Yeah. So I was coming in with what I said to say that, a lot of the guys were coming in, they were saying how, yeah, you know, you're blowing the females up and everything, and you were saying how, you know, that ain't true, you know, all the things that they're saying about them. So I was saying, what Dr. York was saying with the music is a lot of what the singers, you know, all the attributes that they got in the songs that they're saying about the female, he said it all don't apply to that one female, you know, and it is really their emotions that was reaching out to the Most High, and, you know, so... That's basically it, you know, and then you was saying,
okay. Yeah, I remember my actions because I'm there in that time frame, but okay. But I just want to say that So I had to travel back in time, of course, mm-hmm. and I just want to say that I saw what you were striving to say in regards to what he said. So it took me a minute to figure the shit out because it's just, you know, like I know when something don't make sense. So let me tell you exactly what he said, and I'll do my best. Mm-hmm. What he said was that if you listen to the music in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. or whatever, those golden 70s music or 60s, they were actually, it is as if they are singing to the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Giving them praise or whatever like that. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to, like, the Temptations, because I remember you mentioned the Temptations, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just want to say you were right, and I just jumped a little too fast because it was kind of like misquoted. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I just want to tell you that I wanted to apologize because it took me a minute to understand what Dr. York said when I had to be checked on it.
Okay, your apology is graciously accepted.
Yeah, I just want to apologize because I kind of jumped in it a little too fast. But basically, it's the music that is the praise music.
Mm-hmm.
So the Temptations, the Blue Magics, the Shy Lights, all the motherfuckers was just, it was the praise type of music that they were praising in the form of love songs.
Yeah,
it was the praise music.
Because Dr. York took a lot of their music and switched over a lot of Blue Magic, you know.
Yeah.
Switched it from negative to positive, you know.
Right.
You know,
right.
Take the same song and, you know, and turn it into a gospel music. Gospel.
Right.
Music, you know?
Right.
So,
and that's what it sounded like. So I just, but I did want to tell you, I apologize. I just wasn't able to, you know, receive it. At the time, I should have received it, and I apologize for saying, well, you know, well, let's sing Sunshine, Blue Skies and shit. But if you listen to I Wish It Would Rain, it's a praise music, and that's what he was explaining, that it's a praise music. It wasn't love songs. It wasn't R&B. It was praise music. It was like worshiping, singing in the name of the Most High.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I just want to tell you, I apologize if I snap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you got it together, you know. It's just you do what you got to do, you know. So and I know a lot of times people you know the way you do what you do, you know, some people get upset, you know, and I'm like, well, there's no reason to get upset if, you know. I mean, you know, just it's, you know, it's talk, man. You know,
right,
real,
that's true.
Real talk.
Well, you're a very wise man, so, you know, you've been my age like 7 times, right? You're like 17,000 times my age, so you see shit a little different. You know what I'm saying? You don't take it that serious. But anyway, but I know you pushed one for something else, but I'm just thankful that you know, that I can make that happen, give my...
Okay.
You and
Nefertiti, the other day, I think it was the Holy Tablet reading, y'all were talking about a game, and I think he called it Pharaoh.
Yes.
Okay, because I was looking on the internet today, and I saw a Pharaoh, but then I saw a Pharaoh and Cleopatra. So I'm like,
yeah,
which,
you can
exactly
get both of them.
One?
They're the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't sell those?
I mean, if you want me to, I will. If you feel like you need to support, you know, the store, then I'll have it for you if you need it. But technically, how much did you see it for? $6-7, right?
I seen, yeah, it's very price anywhere from like $10 to $50, you know.
Oh, I don't know what you were looking at. Then let me get it for you, and then just call me after the show, and I'll get it for you if you saw it for that much. You know what I'm saying? I can find it a little cheaper for you, a lot cheaper. I think Neff, how much was yours? Like $6-7?
Yeah. Yeah, you get the extension. It usually comes with an extension of Cleopatra with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe Neff just happened to luck up on it, but if I may look for it for you. If not, did you try Amazon?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna do that in about 30 minutes because
you
made it so popular, Don. It might have gone up. The man might have been
Neff. You know what? Let me get some. If you can find it for the price that Neff purchased hers for, of like $6-7 plus shipping, then let me know. If not, then I can just go ahead and get the game wholesale.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I can just go direct and just get it from the company, from Sierra Online.
Oh, one other thing, because we had passed by Monticello yesterday. We had headed out to Atlanta, and I was listening to the radio, and they was talking about a multi-car collision and knocked out the, those conductors and whatever, you know. So I was just wondering if, you know, your
car. In Monticello? That was yesterday, right?
Yeah,
that was interesting because I was actually on the phone here, right? And all of a sudden, my lights went out. But it came back on like 3 seconds later.
Okay.
So, but that's normally what happens in this town is that everybody be without power except for All Eyes on Asia.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I was the only store with power again. Okay, because that's the way it's supposed to be, goddammit. Yeah, but everybody else was out of power. But mine, I was on the phone. It went out and it came back on. Yeah. So, that's normally what happens. Yeah.
We're gonna head out here again, and I'll try to get back to you.
Well, I appreciate your love. Thank you for calling so much, too. And let me know if you're able, if you get it, okay? If you don't get it, then just let me know, then I'll get it.
Okay.
I'll get the game.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Peace.
All right, peace. I do, man. This is the Don Corleone Show, man. I'm feeling better, man. What the hell was we talking about before I was rudely interrupted with the grizzly bear that sleeps during the Holy Tablet Show?
Had you moved on?
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell we're talking about. I thought he was going to talk about what we were talking about, but what the fuck were we talking about? The sound. Thank you, G. Go ahead,
right.
Nath. Take it away.
Right.
Thought. So, sound.
Right, from that, like I said, your thoughts put out frequencies, which are your antennas into the cosmos that work and in a boomerang effect, meaning it's magnetized and it comes into your life. So, because I know some of y'all not up on the in the right knowledge wording of it, so it's y'all who's still over in Tamahoo's side, it's called like the law of attraction, like that kind of thing, like you think it, so shall it be, like Don stated earlier. So that's how we make things happen. Whether you even know it or not, it's always in your life. I don't even people think they know that they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how powerful our minds are. Everything in the universe, everything in the cosmos vibrates. Everything.
Nothing rests.
Nothing. Nothing is at rest.
So that's how you do it, Doc and G.
That's right.
Doc Mechanic and G. Yeah. That's why he said be mindful of your thoughts. It's important because you could think it and it'll happen. And especially the stronger your gift is, then it manifests super fast. You feel me? It manifests super fast. So I really don't have to speak shit in existence. You can think it and it'll happen. Or you can write it. writing is like one of the most elementary forms that I always tell people, just start writing. I put my children on the writing first.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing I tell a motherfucker. Well, you don't know how this shit works, just write it in red ink and see what the fuck happens, because you
right.
got to graduate from writing to mastering the English language first, and then having psychic self-defense over your thoughts and your words, being able to just be mindful of the English language when you speak and know what the fuck you're saying when you're saying and what you're saying. Because I noticed that, see, I'm a good listener. I do my best to listen very well. So if you ever find yourself in a situation where you are a great listener and you quote back what the motherfucker said and they say, man, that's not really what I said. That's not what I was trying to say is... That's the motherfucker that's not even mindful of the words that come out of their mouth. They're not even fucking listening to themselves. So they have to try to tell you again in another fucking way. But those are the ones that are deaf, dumb, and blind, can't hear shit they saying, they self is saying, is not mindful of what the fuck they looking at, can't even see shit, and is dumb as fuck about that shit. You go through it all the time, so I can't, yeah. So when, like, your senses get heightened the more you know what I'm saying, the more you raise up. Like, the more you become more attentive and more, you know, clairvoyant and psychic, for lack of better words and shit, you know, your four higher senses, that shit start to heighten. In regards to moving shit out of your way, you can just speak it and it's gone, or write it and it's gone. I don't know why people give remedies. Why people don't give remedies. Just simple fucking shit, yo. And that's why I tell my daughter, like, just write that shit. Whatever the fuck you want, just write that shit. Start there. But the problem is that most people fail to know that what they write is going to come to pass. And then that's where your patience got to kick in at. Because you got to be very patient. And you got to wait. Because depending on you is depending on how soon it will get there or come or be removed for you. But now, so yeah, I do curse my kitchen. I put curses. Well, I haven't put curse on. I should have put. That's what I fucking meant to say. I haven't put a curse on the kitchen. I mean, the kitchen I have now, which I fucking should have put a curse on it. I just thought about it. I should have put a curse in the kitchen that I am currently in. Have, but back in the days, I used to curse my kitchen, curse those that would come in my kitchen. Similar to what the ancient Egyptians would do. Curse those that don't belong in the fucking pyramid. Curse those that touch or open the sarcophagus. Curse, you know, saying so. There you have it. But, you know what I'm saying? You got to do that. You got to, I mean, y'all got to tap into your powers, man. I know religion has fucked y'all up and told y'all to put everything in God's hands and the universe hands. But I'm sorry. If you're familiar with the affirmation, if they all can, then you can. If the all does, then you do. Hello?
That's right.
So this is a little bit different from religion to the greater mysteries, which is my story. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of like, you know, it kind of like hinders the mind of non-ether people. But that's what religion did. So now you don't know what to do in situations. You know what I'm saying? But you can't think yourself out of a stressful situation. You can think yourself into a greater situation. You can, you know what I'm saying? You can do all that shit. That's the power of the fucking mind. That's the power of thought, man. That's the power of the hoodie.
And if I could just add this on too, Don, is that you cannot worry about how it's going to come about. Like Don said, you have to know it's coming, and you can't worry about the how. Because most time people visually can't see how it's going to come because they're thinking about external circumstances. So you just have to know. And I've learned that. I've learned that in my time.
Yeah, you got to know. You got to know. Yeah, you got to know. You got to know it's at the table, man. You got to fucking know it's at the table.
And I worry about the when, how it's going to happen. Because there's things, people that come into your life that are going to make that manifest. And that's just what
I've
learned.
No, you don't curse your house, Justice. You curse those motherfuckers that try to fuck with your home. You know what I'm saying? You got to build that that shield around your home and your children. Well, you don't have children. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'm about to say, you probably got a dog and shit. But, yeah, he said, I need to curse my house. And then you don't curse your fucking home. You curse the motherfuckers that even think about coming into your home. You protect your home and you put a curse on those that try to violate your sanctuary. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you stay with two women? Well, God bless America, I tell you. God damn. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, like, I mean, you got to protect your shit, man. You got to protect your shit. You know what I'm saying? If you don't want certain people in your home, you know what I'm saying, you X them out your life. It's just real simple, man. You just write them out. Write them. Write them out. You write people in, you can write them out. Shit. It's real fucking simple. I think the majority of motherfuckers is like what Neff said about the people just can't visualize. And visualization is a motherfucker because you got to see that shit.
That's right.
You got to see it. But I know a lot of people love for me to talk about, want me to talk about that shit, but I can't really explain it to you because first you're going to have to mind your mind for the jewels of your soul. First you're going to have to master that mind of yours, that big-ass brain that got that telepathic influence coming in and out. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to be able to be mindful of your fucking thoughts first because, trust me, once you hold on to a thought, it starts to happen. It will manifest. Thoughts are like ether. It's spiritual. So you got to be mindful of your fucking thoughts because if you hold on to it long enough, motherfucker, it's going to happen. That's right. Why I get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? Even if I hear some shit like something's going to happen to somebody I care about, and if I hold on to that fucking thought, man, and start giving into it and believing that shit, because we're talking about the Luciferians now. We can't forget about these motherfuckers. They
right.
seek mind control, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely,
so they, you know what I'm saying? And they use a lot of people who don't fucking know their power. So they can send that thought to your motherfucking ass because you're not familiar with the power of thought, motherfucker. They send that to you because you ain't familiar. You don't know shit about it. You don't
right.
know shit about it. And the majority of these motherfuckers hold on to that shit, and then it happens.
You see that,
though? I don't. I suit up, and I say bullshit. I curse that shit out. I curse it out. That's what cursing is good for you. Because you got to curse that shit out. Don will curse the shit out of a motherfucking thought. So you got to curse that motherfucking thought. That ain't bullshit. Got me fucked up. That shit ain't what bullshit. You better give that shit to somebody else. This is what the fuck I be saying. I'm real. I speak back. I talk back to what the fuck they done sent me. And I send it back cussing. This is all part of psychic self-defense. Start it. Do it. I'm telling you, it works. When you, be mindful of your thoughts. Listen to that motherfucker. And if that shit ain't all right, cuss that shit out. Cuss it.
That's
curse
right.
that motherfucker. Tell them motherfuckers, take that shit to somebody else with that bullshit. That's what I do.
Right. See, you just hit it on the head, Don, when you say you hold on to that thought. And when you keep it, like you say, you keep it in your mind, that strengthens the frequency, people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do it on the other side for something that they want to manifest because, like I said, due to exterior thoughts of how I'm going to do this and is it going to come, they shorten the thought. They don't think on it. They don't keep it in their mind. And so, therefore, your
right.
frequency is not strong enough to make it come to into your life. But they do it on the wrong side, on the negative side, like you said. Just hold
yeah. it. Yeah, because if you hold a thought long enough, it's going to happen. So
that's
you
right.
got like a brief second to throw it back at their ass and cuss them out for giving it to you, for coming in. Like I said, man, can you just imagine that there's 1,000 motherfuckers that you can't see, and one of those 1,000 motherfuckers whispers in your ear. That's how thought is traveled to you.
Mm.
You can't see them, but now let's say that these thousands of motherfuckers are visible and we're in one place, all of us, and I just so happen to whisper in your ear and say some old fucked up foul ass shit to you. You would know it's foul because it's me telling you some foul shit. But you don't know it's foul when you think it's your own fucking thoughts. And that's why you hold on to it and you ponder on that thought. Don't ponder on that sick-ass shit. cuss the motherfucker out. They done whispered that shit in you. You got to curse them. It's all psychic self-defense, man. Now, I don't know how I went from, you know, putting curses on my kitchen to keep motherfuckers out of it and have them fuck theyself up. Oh, Egypt. Because that's what the article mentioned. You know what I'm saying? That they put curses on their tombs and mummies and all that other type of shit. That's where it came from. Okay, cool. I just wonder where the fuck this shit came from, because, you know, I'm trying not to do. All right, moving right along. I got one for y'all, okay? This shit make. Oh, because I'm still on my black woman scum bucket nigga bitch rant for 360 days. Top 10 issues I had with OWN and the documentary Doc Girls. Have anybody seen the documentary Doc Girls from your one and only Oprah Winfrey? Yes or no?
Come out.
Okay, well, this didn't come from me, but this came from Reaganomics, okay? This is the person by the name of Reaganomics wrote this, okay? This is the top 10 issues that they had with OWN in the documentary Doc Girls. Remember, I played the clip on it. Remember, that's the one that Oprah snatched up from a boy back in the days, a dude that did it. So the dude name is Bill Duke, by the way, who actually did this shit. So number one, Reaganomics says, with all respect to Bill Duke, there was a problem in the presentation. A woman's insecurity can never be accurately told from a male's perspective. Us a female. We have voices. Don't speak for us. Okay, good. We got a female. All right, that's just what she wants to say. Anybody disagree? Can a male speak on a woman's insecurity, or a woman's insecurity can never be accurately told from a male perspective? Is there any males that agree with her or disagree? You agree with her, self-guided? A man can't speak on a woman's insecurities? A man perspective? You can't touch it. Oh, you're saying a man can, so you disagree with her. Self-guided. Okay. Well. Okay. I strongly feel that, you know, a man can. Do say he half and half. What about you, Neff B? Yeah, I can see it. I think a man can if he's able to certainly pinpoint it accurately. If he's on point with it.
Doing it, yeah, he can, but I'm not a nigga just coming up and say,
yeah,
you love yourself.
What about Bill Duke? I don't know who the fuck he is. He might be. I gotta see it and be soft, yeah, so I could figure out what Reaganomics is talking about. Cause I don't know. Cause if you know, okay, let's go to two then. B, you got something to say before we go to two?
No, I'm cool. Go ahead.
Okay. So then she goes on to say, with all the experts and various points of view, was a real resolution presented with this documentary, or would this just be more chatter and filed into the pile of endless distractions among the black community as a whole? See, I need to see it. I need to see the Doc Girls and see where she's going with this shit. I know it's some bullshit, though, but any dark bitch that wanted to take part of that shit, bitch, you got issues. You certainly got insecurities. I'm sorry. All the dark bitches that was on that fucking shit, them bitches are fucked up, unless they were actors.
I think one of the, I was flashing through the OWN, and I think one of the scenes where they took a young girl who they gave the doll test to when
right.
she was a child.
Younger.
Right.
Mm.
And now she's an adult and she's talking about her experience and what she thinks.
What'd
of
she
herself
say?
Now. I don't know. They didn't really go into it. I didn't watch it. They were just like, yeah, she was just kind of reminiscing. She didn't really say, like, I love myself now. I didn't hear none of that. So, yeah. You know how they advertise.
Okay. Star Dancer said, I agree with her. No man can speak on what happens within a woman. Well, hell, most men don't know what is going on with themselves. That's true. Well, it's so easy to dissect another motherfucker, ain't it, than to dissect themselves. But if I have a good idea of how this shit went, because I remember seeing, like, maybe a 5-minute clip of it a couple of years ago now. of the whole little dark bitches and the little bitch crying and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't believe that. I can believe that that could be a traumatic experience. I just can't believe that that can be a traumatic experience. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, take my mom. You know, these bitches was, you know, my mom is born in the fucking 40s.
Right.
This bitch ain't that fucked up. Over her color. My mom black as fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These chicks is like, you know, had to have been born in the 70s, 80s.
80s. Because
the little girl,
right.
That was like a 1980, right? The little girl that did the little doll test.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so she had to have been like 8. So let's say she had to have been born in like 72 or 73.
Okay.
Or it's 1970 or 69.
Okay,
shit.
That make her 40, right.
Yeah.
40. Right.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, but hell, my mom got damn 60-something fucking years old and ain't had no nervous breakdown over the color of her fucking skin. And you can imagine what the fuck they went through in the 40s and 50s
right.
and 60s. You know what I'm saying? I think that the – let me – can I say something real quick? And this is not to hurt anybody's feelings. It's just me just thinking, telling y'all what I think. But I think that the black – dark-skinned women that are emotionally, traumatically fucked up over the color of their skin due to external forces, be it people, I strongly believe that the majority of these dark-skinned women are traumatized in their mind, in their head, and this is all due to black men. Nobody else.
Agreed.
Yeah,
I agree.
This is their fucking shit is at black men. Their insecurities of their color is due to black men.
Absolutely.
Right. They want black men.
Because I know it ain't got shit to do with colors over here and whites over there. Because, bitch, you weren't even here when that shit popped off.
Exactly. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And back then, I don't think it was a problem because my mom ain't really had no fucking issues.
Right.
Only with Caucasians. So I know that this stems from black men doing them in. Self-guided, you blame propaganda? I blame, again, the black nigger bitch because this hoe wants to pander a black man, and the black man is looking at some high yellow chick, and now this bitch feel like she should just muster up so much insecurities. It's that shit.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the women in the 40s and 50s, though. I'm talking about these bitches that's in their 40s now. I'm not talking about my mom's age group. I just want to tell y'all this. We're talking about the 70s. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Star Dancer. She says, I'm a 70s baby. Dark girls were not in at the time, see? And not in meaning by who's going to validate them to come in, Star Dancer,
mm-hmm.
before I finish. So who, before I finish reading your statement live on the air, but who validates the dark girls from being in and not in? Go ahead. I know it ain't going to take you but 2 seconds to type a three-letter word. It ain't going to take you but 3 seconds to type a three-letter word. Three-letter word! Antichrist!
The black man, goddamn.
The man, absolutely. The man, the black man.
Yeah, but I think
absolutely. That's what the fuck that shit is. Star Dancer Supreme said, no, family members. Let me finish. Let me read your statement all the way. I'm a 70s baby. Dark girls was not in at the time. All my light-skinned cousins got all the attention. But my family was from the South, and black folks are seriously messed up down there due to colorism. Okay. Okay. All right. So, now, the key word here, all my light-skinned cousins got all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
From who?
Yeah, how did you know that if you didn't already think that? How would you know they was getting all the attention if you already didn't have an insecurity about... Yeah, I don't buy that. I think
the key word is attention. So basically, like I said, the only problem that the majority of black women have of the 70s is not the issues of the women of the 40s and 50s. The issue that black women have is attention, which builds up that insecurity.
Yeah.
And this
I think
is,
that's it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? That's, God damn, I feel fucked up because my skin, my melanin is a little bit different from dark-skinned women, but I do want to help them. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, it's kind of fucked up. I wish I was a black girl. I wish I was fucking Oprah, but this bitch likes to egg that bullshit on and keep
right.
y'all continually stuck in your childhood and using words like attention and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? But, God damn, it makes it even, one, I'm black, two, I'm a woman, and then I'm lighter skinned. I got three strikes against me, which makes it difficult, because then the majority of my motherfuckers are like, you wouldn't know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know what the fuck it's like, bitch, you light skinned.
Right.
You don't understand. You know what I'm saying? That's what fucks up the whole goddamn shit. Self got it? Damn, I'll just read your words. Attention whores. He said it. And he a nigga, black and ugly. Attention
yeah.
whores.
Yeah. If I would have felt that way, being that I'm brown, but my mother's whole family, which we were around the majority of my life, they're all white, like damn near white, like bright, light skin, red bone, all of them. And, you know, it was just like me and my sisters, me and my one sister, because we were from my dad's side. My dad was brown, so... That's how we got that color, but we were like the only ones, but I never looked at it that way. I looked at it like I was better. I'm better. You know, I never thought of it as they were better than me or, you know, I guess it's just the individual.
Right.
That
okay. Star Dancer says, I would hang out with them and the boys, them meaning her family, her light-skinned friends, family members. I would hang out with them and the boys would flock to them and ignore me. Told you, boys. It
yeah.
hurt my feelings at the time, but I'm stronger the older I got. Now I'm an awesome bitch and the light-skinned hoes are doing bad. She didn't say light-skinned hoes. She said light-skinned cousins.
I think it was
the movie. I didn't have to throw that in that shit. You know what I'm saying? But she's saying, I just wanted to fit in more than anything else. Exactly. Because you wanted the attention from them motherfuckers. That's that
right.
pandering women mentality. And it's
right.
fucked up
that
it stems at a. It's fucked up that it stems at a younger age, though. It starts at a younger age. You know what I'm saying? Where when you at a younger age, you know, you hang out with your girls or your cousins, and the niggas will only show the other chicks some motherfucking love, and
right.
not you. The blessing is. That's what I say, man. Black women, I just consider y'all as more protected. Now, I'm about to go straight racist on this shit. I'm about to do some Willie Lynch shit. I just see that y'all are a hell of a lot more protected than light-skinned women are. And y'all don't know it. Think about it. Just for a minute. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
And y'all don't know it? In other words, if all the boys... wanted to stick their dicks and bother light-skinned bitches. They
oh, okay,
gave y'all
yeah.
an escape to fucking get on your fucking feet and take over this fucking bitch. Because
you
at
know,
the end
yeah.
of the day, who the fuck wants a nigga attention when we supposed to already be in fucking place? But the only
you
problem
know.
With dark-skinned women is they never notice that the dark skin is really their protection spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, and all that fucking shit, and financially.
Right.
That's the only thing they couldn't see. But
I
always say the same shit. They wanted the fucking attention. They felt left out. And this is why we got more goddamn dark-skinned bitches. More, not to say it's right or wrong what I'm saying, and I'm dirty-ass off-accuracy on this shit. But that's why more dark-skinned bitches tend up to be more pandering fucking hoes. Bleaching their skin and all that shit to get more attention, what we get today.
Mm.
And these are the bitches that's in our era that was born in the 70s and late 60s. These are these bitches doing that shit.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree, Don. That I think that what she wanted was exactly attention from the boys, and it was a deterrent, and I'm glad it actually was looking at it that way, because now looking at all the light-skinned girls, ask her where all those light-skinned girls are now. I bet you a lot of them ended up the ones that were the fast track, and they, you know, did a lot of things that gave them bad names. So just to be with
right. You,
we have to
right. Realize.
Yeah.
Right. John Slim said dark-skinned girls gave it up quicker. Absolutely. That was my point. They did give it up. And I ain't trying to be funny, but, like, the majority of dark-skinned girls that I knew back in the days, they did give it up quicker.
Yeah, because they were insecure. They were insecure. Because
they wanted the attention.
Yeah.
Because they figured,
right. Well,
if my skin don't work, maybe the pussy will. Let me bring
exactly. In
661. Give me a mic check.
Oh, hello?
Hello?
Yes. I just had a question to ask you concerning dark-skinned women.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just wanted to know your opinion. How do you feel about black men who have a preference for light-skinned women? Do you feel that there's something wrong with them, or is that okay?
The question is about black men having a preference for light-skinned women?
Yeah, like, because now, like, some black men will say, well, they have a preference for light-skinned women, and they don't really date or want to be married to someone who is dark. Do you feel that's some sort of psychological problem, or is that okay?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
I feel it was a psychological mind fuck in some families.
I totally disagree that it was a psychological mind fuck. I'm just saying I just can't answer that. I disagree with it being a psychological mind fuck. I just know that all of a sudden everything became a preference, and that's what the fuck the issue is right now, is that you take a black man now, okay, you take they're all listed under the government as African American.
Right.
Yeah, am I right or wrong? The black girl and the light-skinned girl. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
They all listed in the government in census as a fucking African-American. The black man is listed also as an African-American. And all of a sudden now, here everybody else says that all of a sudden this black man don't like dark-skinned women. He's choosing a light-skinned woman. But all three of them motherfuckers is listed as Negroes, coloreds, and goddamn African-Americans.
Say it.
So that's why I say it ain't no fucking psychological fucking shit. This is where propaganda comes in at. If we let me break this fucking spell before the mothership goes the fuck off, all three of them is fucking niggas. Who does it? The dark skin group of niggers does it to the man that prefer a lighter African American woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dark skin niggas that do that shit. Not niggas and males. Niggas in male and female.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's a black woman that prefers light-skinned man, it's still the African-American nigger community that feels that she doesn't like dark skin. But you all are fucking niggas.
Right.
I don't understand that shit. It don't make no fucking sense, and I think that, goddamn, I could see if you were in kindergarten thinking that bullshit. But you a grown-ass motherfucker, and I'm sure you all say that we as African fucking Americans, that means you just include your brown, your caramel, your light skin, your chocolate, and your dark chocolate brothers and sisters.
Well, since the rise of the internet, you know, a lot of black men start, you know, putting their views out there, and I know one of them was the preference. Now they're saying, well, it's a preference, and you can't tell me what I like or what I can't like. So if I feel that I like, if I want to be with light skin only exclusively, then, you know, that's their right or prerogative to do.
Yeah, I mean, Caucasian men feel the same way. They prefer a blonde, blue-eyed woman. Oh, poor brunettes, huh?
You kind of,
right.
I was wondering the same thing. You know, it's like I don't really hear other, you know, white females saying, "Well, your mom is a brunette. You shouldn't like, you know, blondes."
Exactly. You know, exact. Now you done said something. saying something. You saying something there exactly. 334, come on in. 552, give me a mic check.
How you doing, sister?
Hey. How you doing today, Omar?
I'm doing okay. I don't know where the conversation started at. I've just been on for 2 minutes, but what you're describing is what I heard many years ago, the old Willie Lynch syndrome, I guess. We know where.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring Willie Lynch in the picture.
Okay, I'm sorry,
I just didn't want to.
Okay, but you know the light against the dark and all of this.
Yeah, because
it
really showed that the word nigga certainly does mean ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
For a nigga to really think that shit is real when you're all listed as colored. Even the lightest of light-skinned Negroes was listed as colors as the darkest of darkest Negroes.
That's right.
I know.
So that's how you know that everybody as a whole is ignorant as fuck to believe that bullshit about light skin gets this and dark skin get that when you all fucking niggas at the end of the goddamn day.
Of course. You still got one. You still got a master over here. You still a slave. So you
now, I don't know about no master and a slave shit, but you all fucking niggas.
I'm just using that as a figure of speech, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but he
ain't
got to even come into play with this shit, because I said that it was the niggas that did that shit. Now, how did the niggas do it? According to their little slave story that all niggas love to pass down for generations and generations, is that story you just said. The light skin had more privilege, and the dark skin stayed outside in the field. This story was passed down generations to fucking generations, and here we are today saying the same goddamn story.
Same thing, yeah.
That might have been a fucking lie. That might have been a lie to begin with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you got better treatment. That's some bullshit. Well, I wasn't a slave, so I don't give a fuck, but I'm just saying.
Exactly. So you can tell, but the story is still, you know, it's just passed down all the fucking time. And here we are now, 2013, and Oprah with her little pretty little black self that don't like her skin, but for some reason this bitch got $1 billion for it. I guess it doesn't mean nothing. I guess she worked hard for her billions, and it wasn't her dark skin that did it. Because you tell me the richest light-skinned bitch, richer than Oprah.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
That's right. Couldn't tell you. That's right.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes before the mothership takes off, man. So hurry up, call in and Skype in to hear the next hour of the Don Nicole Young Show, man. You know how we do it like this, 12 noon,
in America.
Huh?
Well, you know, black people, I've always said black people in America are really their worst enemy. I mean, we fall for some little crappy. I mean, it's a shame how just for some little bitty stuff can just knock our people off, you know, just whole little. So, you know, in many ways we do it to ourselves, with our own worst enemies, you know, and we make it's just sad, that's all.
Yeah, because remember now, the shit go even deeper than just the skin tone, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it ain't like that I don't like light-skinned niggas, I don't like fat niggas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my preference, long as you ain't no fat motherfucker. However, I do prefer a skinny nigga.
Well, you're the first I've heard ever say that.
You know what I'm saying? But there are women that prefer, you know, some niggas with some baby fat on them.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't like niggas with baby fat on them because they tend to really look like them and start to act like big-ass tall babies. Not saying that skinny niggas don't, but you just don't want to see that fat jiggle when it get mad.
Well, my father was a dark-skinned, short little man, so.
You know what I'm saying? You just don't want to see no fat nigga get mad and he start jiggling and shit, throwing tantrums. That shit just don't look right. You feel me?
The double chin not working, Don? The double chin, it's not working?
Yeah, you don't want to see that shit. You know what I'm saying? You just don't want to see it. But see, like I said, but, you know, like that African, I'm going to have to throw us all in this pot. We all niggas, now get the fuck over it. The only problem with dark-skinned bitches that I have to say that still suffer from the light-skinned superiority complex, if that's your issue, is that, bitch, you was a fucking slut and an attention whore because for some reason you just saw all the mother bitches get the attention. And like John Slam said, they were more easier. We always knew that black girls were more easier because they wanted the more of the attention. And thus
right.
you grew up to be a hell of a lot more slutty. And that's, you got to check that. Y'all got to deal with that shit. But just know that if you listen to your answers, especially them dark-skinned bitches' answers, it's always the attention. That's all they going to say in that documentary. They wanted the attention. That's all it is. And this is one of our reasons why we got the scumbucket nigga bitch list now. Because you got to stop pandering. These motherfuckers. Can't use your pussy. Your skin is your best protection. Your color should keep niggas, should keep dogs away. Because that shit's supposed to protect you. We got 90 seconds. We're going to take off, and then I'll finish this thing up and finish reading what Ray Anonymous got to say.
Well, all right. Star Child, citizens of the universe, recording angel. We have returned to claim the pyramid. Partying on the mothership. I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D. Lightyear groove. Well, all right. You hear the noise? Ain't nobody but me and the boy. Get down. Hit it, fellas. Stride and dip in your hip and come on to the mothership. Loose boots, doing the bump. Hustle on over here.
This shit is geared towards, because it seemed like every 20 years this shit come right back up, this whole dark skin baby doll color picture point at the doll that's mean ass shit. It seemed like every fucking 20 years they want to bring this fucking shit up. Am I right?
Right.
Here's what
back.
I think is going on. I think what's going on is that they always want to separate all of us as women. Because we, every shade of nature, you know that, right? And when they start to see us clicking to keep our sisterhood tight, it seemed like every 20 fucking years, because it wasn't right after the Black Liberation Movement, they dropped that bullshit doll shit, then came out with that shit in the 80s, and then came out with that shit. It's like either every 10 years or every fucking 20 years. And it seemed like every time we finally break that fucking spell, and I'm only talking to my sisters, every time that spell is almost fucking broken, well, we can just really get over the whole, that shit's stupid as fuck. I hate to even fucking talk about this shit. It feels fucking elementary. Somebody hit the fucking restart button. Absolutely, shot bless. And that goddamn, I can tell y'all better watch that little bitch, Oprah. That bitch is in black skin. That doesn't mean she's a Nubian.
Hey, you feel it's elementary because it is. That's when they started that bullshit test, the Brown versus the Board of Education, elementary school age children. That's when they started that shit.
And then call it Brown versus...
Right.
What's that about? What was that about?
That was the case that ended segregation among public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so they used that doll test as a way to say, see, we have to give the black children self-esteem because, see, you know, they don't think they're equal. So they used the doll test as a means, you know, a litmus test to show that there was inequality. So that's where that whole shit is contrived from.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was back in what year?
50 something.
See, and my only issue with them 50 ass Negroes is my only, I got a few issues with them, but my only, but this particular issue is that's what the fuck you get for wanting to fucking follow all them fuck ass niggas and have your babies subjected to that bullshit with trying to fight to get your children sitting next to fucking dogs. See what the fuck happens?
That is.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's that shit right there. That's what the fuck I'm talking about. That's that. See, that ain't, that's what the fuck you get. And then all of a sudden when the 80s hit, you see us doing a dog test because of them wanting to sit next to old Yella and Lassie.
Tell it. Right.
Well, I mean, that ain't got shit, you know what I'm saying? And thus, it done bled to us now. All of a sudden, now we got fucking personal childhood issues with light skin and dark skin because of these motherfucking goddamn Black Panther ass, power ass, Nubian race ass, NCAA ass,
right.
All the rest of them ass, alphabet
right.
boys, Negro
right.
boys, shit. Because we can all say that we ain't got no problem with white people. We got a problem with our own people because of this
shit. That's right. That's right. That
right
shit
now,
can cross straight.
Now,
oh,
this is just us
stripes.
70s children talking. So this ain't, you know, this is us 70s babies, God damn
right.
it. I think it's time for y'all to listen, you 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And 30s if you're still alive.
I see the strife. Or just the bullshit it can create amongst the family. I take, for example, my father is from the born, and he's from the 50s. You know what I'm saying? That nigga had the nerve to say, when I was born, he didn't think I was his because of my light complexion. Told my mama that was the Mexican man's child. You know? And he said
might
that
have been, because, you know, Bush was out there.
But he said that for a long time, and he never hides that. Never tries to deny that he said that to my mother.
Oh, he don't even deny it.
Oh, yeah.
He denies it.
No, he said he says it. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For a long time, yeah. I didn't think it was mine. It's because of your skin complexion. Because my father was a dark
man. Now that I think about it, now, if you do act like a Mexican man, you are always in the garden and shit. Always doing Mexican shit. Now that I think about it.
Man.
Nigga, you need a blood test. Y'all ain't did a blood test. You need Dana. Tony, and you need Dana. Because your daddy
you
did
about?
Say on live on the show that your mama was out there.
Yeah, and the neighbor was.
And nine times
man.
Out of ten, when a nigga know that he done picked up a hoe and wifed her, it's a possibility that the baby ain't his.
I look just like that man. So that's
he
not
be
even...
feed the baby. How many times I got to tell y'all about DNA and how it stays in the womb and it still shapes
on,
the baby,
God.
The DNA? Just get a just call Dana and just, you know, do it. Because your daddy might be across the street from you, girl, and you don't know it. It make you feel better. At least you ain't got, you know, it make you feel better.
My daddy's not Osvaldo.
If your daddy happened to be Rodriguez or some goddamn body or Gonzalez.
Not Domingo. Domingo. Domingo ate my papa. My daddy is a nigga from Mississippi named Tony.
I just said get a blood test. Just for hell of it, man, so you can be sure.
I hear you. Come on. But that's, yeah, but I'm just saying that
I know,
whole
but a lot of
complex.
Y'all don't
want
to do that shit, though.
Just go.
I would do
that
it.
That whole color complex is permeates throughout a lot of Nubian families, though. Yeah.
We ain't talking about the Nubian family right now. We're talking about how you look like a fucking Mexican and you work like a fucking Mexican versus a nigga. You don't work like a nigga, Neff. You do work like a Mexican. It's all making sense now.
What are you talking about?
Okay, never mind.
Yeah,
let me talk to everybody else.
Please.
Neff works like a Mexican. She doesn't work like a fucking nigga. Okay, Neff got about 17 motherfucking jobs and shit that she got to do in one fucking hour. Now, is that some nigga shit? No.
This is crazy.
Her daddy says now that he always said that she was some Mexican's goddamn baby. and he never denies it, even till this day, Nell feels more comfortable around Mexicans. She can help them. They help her and all this fucking shit. Mexicans fucking love her. Think about it. Everybody else, with the exception of Neff. I'm talking to y'all. Think about this shit.
No two. Got 9 ether hair, nigga.
Neff ain't
crazy.
Got no damn 9 ether hair.
This is crazy.
If you had 9 ether hair, what they called them, popcorn? What they called them people down in the island, what they said their hair was?
What you said that? Yeah.
Something corn. Peppercorn.
Right.
If Neff had 9 ether hair, she had peppercorn hair.
But, yeah. So I just seen how that brings up, you know, in within the family. I always told you my younger sister would say when she was very young, why are you light-skinned compared to me and my older sister as the middle child? Why are you? So it took her a long time and you know, to deal with the fact that I was.
You should say because my daddy Mexican, bitch. I'm telling you, Neff, your mama had you by Mexican. Or Hispanic, if it makes you feel better. Or Latino, if it makes you feel better. She did. And to prove me right, man, I'll pay for the blood test with you and your dad if you want me to, right here on the show. We come back, and it'll be mailed to me.
This is not Maury. This is not Maury.
They'll mail it to me. We can get the blood test done. They'll mail it over to WGAG Radio Studio booth, and I can read the results online on air.
Now you're bringing up bad memories because my daddy always say I was the black sheep. He said there's always one in the family. He said you just not like us.
Wow.
Oh goodness.
I'm just saying. Just think about it.
All right, let's move on. We were talking about.
I don't
want
to move on. I really want us to really think about getting your blood test, what you and your, what you think is your daddy, and what your daddy knew that he wasn't your daddy.
And then he say shit like the neighbor was Mexican, and my mom was.
He know that shit.
Sleeping around with the neighbor.
He know she fucked him. He know that. They were both hitting.
And my mother did say she cheated when she knew my daddy was sleeping around. They played that game, tit for tat.
Yeah.
See, now, but I don't. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's not gonna be zero probability though. That's not the test that's gonna come up. It's gonna be like maybe like 25% probability.
Yeah, cause I look just like my father. I look just like my father.
Cause he was feeding it. I keep telling y'all that bitches get them babies get fed. The sperm feeds it. It still takes on the DNA.
How can you look exactly like someone if they were just hitting it? I mean, I would
just
like my dad.
Explain the white baby and the black baby that the bitch had. Explain that. Explain the bitch. Y'all know the story about the bitch that had a black baby and a white baby. Now, explain that. They were twins. Do y'all remember that story?
One was white?
One was white and one was black, and it was a Caucasian couple. And it happened also to a black couple, a black man and a black woman. They had two babies. One came out black, the other one came out white. Explain that.
Now, it's crazy.
Only two ways that shit can pop off like that. Several ways. One, that the goddamn that DNA is real. When bitches be fucking, the DNA is still in her from another man. Even while she's carrying, that baby takes on the DNA. That's why that one-third I was telling y'all about, that one-third characteristics, personality and all that shit and features are not, that shit does not apply unless the man and the female had no sex partners, unless they both was virgins. That's the only way the one-third happens. Other than that, it's a whole bunch of DNA in that baby from multiple sex partners.
Yeah.
You fucking me up here because now you got me thinking about my childhood.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, my first boyfriend was a Mexican.
Your dad is kind.
My best friend name was Maria for long time.
Mm.
And I used to go to all the quinceañeras, and I was the only nigga there.
Yeah, and that's why Samantha can relate to you, because it was Jesus. This nigga named Jesus I met, and it was 1995. His name was Jesus. Jose. Coming out with it now. That's why I always call Neff when it's regards to Sananda, Donna. And I tell the truth, I always call you when it's regarding Sananda and her little Mexican ties.
And I always say that Sananda reminds me of me because she like when you were saying she going to the quinceañeras and shit, and I'm like, yeah, I used to be the only nigga there too, and they used to be like, come on, let's just dance, and we used to dance, and I mean, you know, it's crazy. I just thought that was a product of my environment because I grew up around a lot of.
Your mama did too. Shit. Mhm. Your mama had sex with that man. She need to come out and fucking tell you. But she did tell you that she was cheating on your daddy.
Yeah.
That's why your daddy
know
that you're about 35. Nah, you're about 35% his.
I agree with Sakim. He was like, but Mexicans can't play basketball.
And you done lost your goddamn mind. Them the hardest working motherfuckers on the planet. Hell is you talking about? Dude even say bullshit, Sakim. And be quiet, nigga. You ain't got no Mexican blood.
I ain't no Mexican, though. This is funny. This is funny how you can make any kind of coincidence to make it look
next
like.
Next time, girl, I'm going to tell you, you've been out. Let me talk to Tony, because I'm going to tell him y'all need a blood test.
He'll be here. He'll be coming out. I think he's going to come out.
You want to let me
He'll
talk
be here
to Tony
before
so I can tell him y'all need a blood test? I just want to know I'm right. And he's right. And your mother's right. And you're right.
I was just showing how there are this parts of my you know background that I do associate with a lot of Latin people, but that's only because you know this is
not only because your first boyfriend was a Mexican. Think about it. If your dad is a nigga, your mama's a nigga, and you's a nigga, then what the fuck would you claim your first to be a Mexican unless
because
it's
I
in
lived
your DNA?
In Mexican.
Girl, it was niggas there.
And I had plenty too.
I know. But you said you're first.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in your DNA, honey. Neff likes cilantro. Yes, she does.
Cilantro is good.
She loves them motherfuckers. I tried that shit. I almost gagged. Ain't no Mexican in me, but Fernanda loves it because Mexican is in her.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, moving right along.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Think about Tony. Think about me when you see Tony, because I'll tell him. Because Neff, I want y'all to get the fucking blood test, man. Just the fucking, you know.
All right, on with the show.
All right, fine.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. That's why your children came out looking for interesting.
What you mean looking interesting?
Because he's a nigga. You's a nigger Rican. Your husband's a nigga. You's a nigger Rican. Look at Janan.
Yeah.
Think about it. Come on now. Think about
Interesting. Man, I don't know what you're talking about now. You done brought my babies into this shit.
I'm just saying, man. Just think about the look at. Okay. I'm going to really sound like I hate my race when I say, look how pretty Janan is.
Oh. This is crazy.
Look how her hair is. Think about it now.
Man. Can you talk about Paula Deen and how she got hired at Fox News?
Okay, we'll talk about Paula Deen. But let me finish this little whole dot girl situation. I'll talk about Paula Deen later.
y'all want some more of the dark girls, or y'all want to go into Paula Deen so, you know, some of you can push one and be frustrated? Anybody? Okay. Black girls or Paula Deen?
Paula
Deen or black girls? Y'all don't want me to finish? Reaganomics? Okay, Steph got to say black girls. He like that. He don't give a fuck about Paula Deen. I can say black girls. Okay, good.
Okay.
We'll stay on this topic. It's kind of, it leans towards Paula Deen, though.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of Paulas. BTR got a lot of Paulas.
Oh, BTR, but the after party got a lot of Paulas. I mean, got a lot of black girls.
Black girls, yeah.
Okay, well, Dress said dark girls. G, I know why G said Paula Deen.
Why?
Because he wants to have an emotional eruption. He wants to feel black. See, when they do shit like that, it's to get you to feel blacker. So this whole Paula Deen situation to get you to feel blacker. But let me say this about, like, first of all, motherfucker. I remember Fireline said this morning. She says, I can't quote it, but Fireline says something like, well, hopefully black people can wake up and realize that, she said, hopefully this will be a wake-up call, that black people wake up, that the rest of the black people wake up and realize that white people do hate your motherfucking ass. Now, but of course it's not, because the majority of black people that sleep wake up and be like, oh, that is just so wrong. Is she hiring?
Did she fire that cook that snitched?
Yeah, because I damn sure could cook. I could work for Paula Deen. So that's just what it is. Anyway, anything else with Paula Deen, G? Anything else? You know, I ain't got no issues. Now, I can read it. I haven't been up to date with it. The first time I read it was when I talked about it and joked about it on the show and shit with Paula Deen. But, you know, like, I'm from the South. I'm a Southern Belle. I don't give a fuck. This is in regards to everybody on the other side, all you northerners and shit. That's for you motherfuckers, because y'all the ones that we had to free so y'all could go up north. But now here, motherfucker, I was wearing big-ass Southern Belle dresses with a fan in my fucking hand and shit. So I don't know. Y'all niggas was wearing cut-off goddamn overalls and shit and a straw hat, wiping sweat from your fucking brow and shit. I can't tell you. I can't relate. I'm sorry. It's certain black issues with white people, I can't relate. I'm sorry. You need to go to a blacker show.
Right. And
I can't relate. You know what I'm saying? That's the truth. I can't relate. I'm sorry. It just happened to be on my show. I wish it was on somebody else's show. But if y'all expected me to do it, I'm sorry, niggers. I can't relate. So I don't know how you're feeling. Maybe if you could push one and just tell us how you feel about this whole Paula Deen situation, then I can probably have and show some compassion. But I can't.
and those west of the Mississippi don't care. I can tell you that.
Okay, where's west of the Mississippi in California?
That's the western state. Yeah, they don't care.
Okay, well then that makes sense, because y'all have Mexicans and have black anyway. So she ain't talking about you, Nigerican. Blackerkins.
What?
So, you know what I'm saying? She ain't talking about, like, I guess she's talking about all the niggas up north and shit, like, Detroit, Michigan. No, where you at? Boston, some fucking
right.
Where.
That's because we the wigger state of, like, the world, you know? It's like.
Yeah. Okay, so nobody down south give a fuck, and nobody down up west where Neff at don't give a fuck. It's just all the niggers in between. Right, Neff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Northerners.
Okay. Oh, no, Northerners. Okay.
Right.
Cool. Yeah, because I don't give a fuck. I just hope she gets her job back. I love Whitey.
That's why you got to look at GeorgiaGossip.com, because she's already getting ready to get employed.
Yeah, Fox is about to pick her ass up.
Yes.
And Fox want her to do a whole plantation thing. Yeah. And see, like I said, niggas don't know when it's a fake left, go right. It's to make you mad. And then it's to make you tune in to Fox. And then get even madder. And then tell everybody what you saw on Fox. And then those niggas tune in to Fox. And then they get madder. Then they go tell somebody. And then they tune in to Fox. And Fox builds ratings and the white bitch gets richer.
Through the roof. That's what I put.
So
on.
That's just what, you know, but I'm saying through anger and emotions, first of all, when you only tell, if I tell you right now how happy I am, I bet you niggas two crackers that you won't go tell everybody what I'm happy about. But if I tell you what I'm so fucking pissed off about, I bet you that you'll tell all the niggas you know, and all the niggas they know will tell all the niggas they know, and all the niggas they know. And this is the way it works, okay? Y'all got to watch that you are the number one marketers and advertisers. They can't pay you how much advertisement you do for them. They can't pay you. It's free advertisement. This is to make niggas mad so that it can boost their ratings. The same way the dark girls, why Oprah went for the dark girl shit, is to make you mad and watch it so you can have a fit, and then goddamn, you have a fit, you talk about it in your blogs, you talk about it amongst your radio shows or your YouTubes, and everybody who ain't heard of Oprah Winfrey Dark Girls, little documentary on her network, then they gonna tune in and watch it. Then they tell somebody, like I said, these bastards are hurting, and they're hurting. Let me tell you why all networks are hurting, with the exception of GeorgiaGossip.com and WGAG Radio.
Where's my hand claps?
Yeah, I was waiting on it.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Okay, yeah, you got it.
The reason why all of them are hurting is simply because niggas are not tuned in to their network. Nobody was watching Oprah until her and Tyler got together. Everybody wrote some negative shit about it. Everybody that saw it raised the roof up on the ratings. Okay?
Have
Fox,
that's
losing.
Right.
No niggas. Niggas are done with the whole Fox network. What they do? Use Paula Deen, create this whole campaign, controversial campaign between one cracker bitch and the whole nigger race. But nobody noticed, nobody paid attention, G, that it was one cracker bitch and versus one cracker bitch. It was one cracker bitch versus one cracker bitch. With this whole Paula Deen situation. One cracker bitch versus one cracker bitch. However, niggas jumped on board. Ding!
Okay.
So now we about, y'all, all the niggas are going to follow her now. Follow her. She's going to stay in the headlines. She's right now, even though the only thing y'all niggas see is this bitch face and words under her picture. But what you don't see is this bitch is filming her fucking plantation show with Fox. And you gonna find out later. And you gonna be mad and tell everybody.
It's gonna be a fucking hit.
And everybody every nigga gonna tune in, because niggas love to watch shit to piss them off, so then they could go to work the next day or tweet or Facebook. And then you doing advertisement for them, man. It's quite simple. So if you that disgusted with Paula Deen, I suggest you keep your fucking mouth shut and don't tell another nigga.
That's right. You know what?
Because
they
all
do
you
that
doing
tactic?
Is making her famous-er and itcher-er. So, and Fox gets the bread again. Because ain't nobody,
right.
Ain't no niggas into goddamn television no more. And
right.
Fox no more. So they have to create this whole controversy around dark girls, Oprah, Tyler Perry, the haves and have-nots, and Love Thy Neighbor, all that nigga shit. And then you got your Fox, and you got a few other shit that's about to pop out. So you niggas brace yourselves. And let's not forget your Zimmerman and Trayvon. We're able to see it in court.
That's right.
We're able to watch it on the internet. Are we not, Neff? Didn't I just play the little opening statement of the fucking thing? And did you not see Zimmerman standing there? Did you not see the judge? Did
right.
you not see all of that shit? Okay.
That's right.
All right. Did we read it in a newspaper? No. Did we see it visually on YouTube? Yes.
Right.
This is all for you motherfuckers to make somebody else richer. if you know the outcome that the white man is the devil and so is his bitch Lassie, why waste your eyes and time and ears visualizing and hearing, spending your time and using that for emotional pictures?
Right.
You only make them wealthy.
You know where they got this shit from, Don? When I seen that, when I seen that the Fox News was going to pick her up, give her the plantation thing where she going to have niggas in the fields, I said, they got this straight from the movie Bamboozled.
Oh, same concept. Said that her restaurant is still booming. They said it was lines wrapped for blocks.
Right.
Of course, it made her bigger. Everybody know that. Because if I ever go to fucking Savannah, too, you going to take me there. And I'll wait in line. Just for the hell of it. Just to say I was there since niggas advertised. I forgot all about the bitch until a nigga on Facebook wanted to advertise her. See how black people make white people relevant?
Mm-hmm. So it was like same concept. Gonna piss off a whole bunch of people that they go and watch her show on Fox. Like you said, that's how they did Bamboozle. It was so derogatory, so quote unquote offensive with slave themes that motherfuckers tuned in. That's
what you about to say something.
I was just gonna say every time it works.
Every time it works. Yeah. But so they. Oh, that's right. Cause Tude in Savannah. So Tude was like, Tude went there and ate. He ate. He said he was listening to the show eating. He said it took him forever to get at the table though. It's like, you know, cause it was a restaurant.
Line was around the block.
Yeah, it was around the block. Yeah. Okay, so let me go back to my little, because I got 30 minutes remaining and the man of the hour is coming up. So where we at with this little black gal situation with Oprah and the person's view, Reaganomics view? We on
Women,
the third Don, one?
Don, let me just say this real quick. How come it's never a situation where somebody white said something about Chinese or Japanese or why is it always, that's how you know they plan this shit, because it's always they want to fuck with niggas' emotions. They never say Paula Deen said a racist comment about Chinese today, or, you know, none of this shit never happens to no other race. It's always a coincidence. It's a white and black thing.
Yeah, and it's not just white and black. It's always a white person that has fame and celebrity status.
Exactly.
And it boosts them up even higher.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
And black people still don't see the shit.
No, they like to be emotional.
That's like
they like
Jonathan
to feel like they're back in the 60s and 30s and 20s and 400 years ago.
That's
they don't get it. This
is
before
too,
TV. Slavery came before television. Slavery came before popularity with Caucasians and their businesses and all that other fucking shit. Remember all that. So how can they get more popular? How can they make more money? Off you, dumbass. Hell, you make up 90% of the fucking wealth. The economy.
Right. And I always say this too, Don. They know how powerful we are. And so it's a part of that Luciferian doctrine.
Actually,
so
y'all
you,
not powerful, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just
Mexicans
talking about,
are,
okay.
You putting yourself as a Mexican is powerful because y'all are some powerful ass motherfuckers.
Okay.
We are as in Negroes. You can't include yourself because niggas ain't really powerful.
The energy, okay, we still have a lot of energy, and I think it's always sometimes they like to conjure up shit amongst niggas, and they go protest, and they go stand, and they conjure up all this energy that's coming from Nubians, and then they like to go ahead and do their little rituals. This is the part of that Luciferian doctrine. That's why, like B said, they always attacking Nubians with this shit, not
it's
other
races. It's always the racist stuff towards the blacks.
They're not really attacking Nubians. Niggas like to jump on it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, niggas jump on it. You know, like I said, this case is so-called between a white bitch and a white bitch.
Right.
That's
wake
who filed the complaint?
Yeah.
Oh, shit,
a
I
white bitch versus a white bitch.
I didn't know that.
I know. Yeah, because you got to read it. Yeah, a white bitch versus a white bitch. A white bitch wants to sue Paula Deen. How did they throw niggas in it?
Niggas do.
Oh, niggas really got duped then.
Niggas always getting duped. Niggas got duped in 9/11. Niggas got duped in Christmas. Christmas is all about white people. Christmas is all about white people. Niggas got duped into that. Niggas got duped into Christianity and religion. It's all about white people. Niggas got duped into that.
Every time.
Niggas got duped into Valentine's, and it was all about a white man and a fucking white bitch. Niggas got duped in that. Niggas even got duped in Mother's Day and Father's Day. Niggas got duped in voting for a white boy that looked black.
Damn, I feel bad for niggas.
Hey, and I hate to say it now, to hurt you even more. Niggas got duped into white man sports. Had nothing to do with them. All that shit is all came from fucking Rome and their gymnasiums or their, what they call them, coliseums.
Right.
Had nothing to do with niggas. Niggas got duped into being part of that shit. There you have it.
I say, niggas like being tricked, I tell you.
Yeah, they like being a part of what the fuck they should not be a part of. Niggas got duped in their education system, edict dictation system. Niggas want to be a part of that. Niggas got duped. They one thing they ain't going to get niggas duped in is that they're Native Americans and Moors. They scared the shit out of a lot of you niggas from being Moors, from claiming your Moors. Claiming your real shit. Moors, Native Americans, Choctaw, Seminole. No, not really Seminole, but we'll throw Seminole in that bitch. But that's one thing, niggas, they made sure that you scared of, niggas scared of black magic.
Right.
The word black magic scares them.
Oh, tell it.
But you love white magic.
Yeah.
Niggas got duped to say it. Niggas, they scared niggas to stay away from their own shit and say, come on over here. This is where you're supposed to be. So how the fuck they get niggas to believe that shit?
Get
niggas like Oprah Winfrey and all the rest of them. How do they get niggas to believe that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves and it was their ass? Think about it. It wasn't them. It wasn't y'all. Well, y'all.
Right.
Had nothing to do with y'all.
Right.
So, there you have it. I can't believe I just polished my thumb on the show. Nigga, I started polishing my fucking nails on this motherfucking yo. Any goddamn way. All right, let me go to the, thank you, B, for that, though. Let me go to the four, three. The core, this is what Gay Rayonomics says, the core of the narrative really focuses on who finds dark women attractive. That is a question. That's basically what she was able to see. Who finds black dark women attractive? That's what she was able to pick up out of that little bullshit. And like I said, this shit is just a fucking cycle to break us up again, y'all. Y'all know that, right? To break the sisterhood. To break our bond, our union that we're finally forming.
Yeah.
And everything, like every time we get ready to form one, this shit just break back out with this bullshit. So don't get caught up under this spell that these Negroes, these white people in black form are casting, as far as Bill Duke, Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, and all the rest of them motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
They are agents of Leviathan,
mm-hmm.
okay, to keep the Adamites asleep. To put us back in the spell of ignorance and racial blindness.
Right.
Yeah. So we can't let these motherfuckers have this shit this time around. Also, she goes on to say, or the absurdity of being wanted as if that is the only purpose of a woman with more melanin in her skin than most.
Our existence doesn't hinge on simply being partners, wives, and girlfriends, but perhaps with a male director, the perspective is limited. I like how she put that.
Yeah,
she said it. She hit it right there. Of women being, what is it, of being wanted as if that is the only purpose of a
That's
woman.
The only purpose. That
with more melanin in her skin. Yeah, than most.
Right.
Right. You see this shit? I love you, B. Four, there are always two sides to every story, she says. Why did we not hear from the population of dark-skinned black women who never felt that their complexion was a limitation? They do exist, and we see them every day. That's what her said. Five, since the male's appetite for black women was on the table, why did the voice of reason or necessary nods have to come from two white fucking men? One black man on the subway, one black man out of four in the pool hall, one comedian, and two black men on the fucking block. Where no other men lining up to cosign on the beauty of dark skin? They're saying only, they use all these type of niggas, comedians, pool hall ass niggas, train bus hopper ass niggas, and use the two white men to nod and agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep, ain't it? You see what they're doing? You see what Oprah and all the rest of them casting?
Yeah.
For you black insecure bitches to accept the white man because they done used damn near six black niggas to say, hell no, we ain't fucking with you.
Yeah.
So now you can get your attention from the German Shepherd. You see how this shit work? Six, understanding the crux of cable programming and advertisement, she says. Could, number one, Carol's daughter, two, Motions, two, Ambi, this is all the advertisement commercials that played during the time, or any black beauty product commercials, companies, get some ad time in this programming block. So basically, none of that happened. So it wasn't Carol's daughter, Oprah, that y'all played, Motions, Ambi, Black Beauty Products, none of that. She said, I just felt there's some type of way about the commercials aired during this time, considering the network understands viewers' demographic. That would be tuning in and the psychological effects these advertisements have on women of color's self-esteem. Wait a minute, was they played?
Yeah, whatever commercials did she name?
No, they wasn't. So it must have been all Caucasian commercials. It must have been all Caucasian commercials.
Yes, exactly. So I wonder which one.
Must have been dark bitches with white men sitting on the bus stop kissing each other, drinking Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I wonder. I would love to know which ones they were playing at that time.
Yep.
Subliminal shit.
Seven. She said, I gather ads, pay the bills at Oprah Winfrey's network, but the commercials versus show content type lapse was a bit off balance. The commercial breaks were excessive. So it was used to cast a spell. It was used to cast a spell. Eight, in watching this program, I honestly felt the commentary didn't neutralize the sting of inter-race discrimination or effectively give history to why it exists beyond the house and field slave analogy. For non-people of coloring watching, I believe they should have gotten more of a definition on the root problem. Nine, if in fact this film desired to be a benchmark for effective dialogue among women of color, what's the next move beyond the hashtag frenzy? Push for publishing on other networks and private screening opportunities in real time? Was there really a call to action? No. 10. What was the real purpose of the documentary? The real purpose of the documentary, Reaganomics, Don is going to tell you, was to separate us again. Make the black woman, anybody that's dark-skinned watching it, feel some type of emotional, struggle, and to acknowledge and to relate to her, and then to denounce her own sisters of the color, of the race, and her brothers, because remember she threw all the niggas in the pool hall and in the bus and all that
right.
shit.
Right. Yeah, to make
and
her
to,
angry. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, and to get her a German Shepherd so she can feel accepted.
I find it interesting how they're doing this shit, too, because I watched that girl from the Basketball Wives. Is it basketball? Maybe I'm on the wrong show. Well, anyway, her name is Brooke Bailey, and she starts. And every time you hear somebody asking this girl a question, they asking her about this shit. How does it feel to be a dark-skinned girl? And, you know, how does it feel to be a dark-skinned girl and modeling, dark-skinned girl here and dark-skinned, you know, what? Getting her to fester up some type of, and she doesn't have that, but they try to make you be like
I don't get it. What you saying? Help me out. Bring it back.
They're always
say that again. What happened with Brooke?
In her interviews, they're always asking her about this dark skin thing, being a dark skin.
Is she brown
woman.
Skin?
And yeah, she's dark. She's a darker, like that, dark skin. And she's a beautiful girl. I mean, very pretty. And she's a model, and she's been, I guess she was a model for magazines and videos or some shit. But they always comparing her, and you notice how they put her and the other girl, Drea, against each other at one point in time, and they were both models going to this casting. They sent. Now, this is how you know they had a hand in it. They sent them both to this casting to take these pictures, and they fell out over this. Because they was both at the same thing doing the photo shoot at the same time.
You know that's some bullshit because casting will tell you exactly what the fuck they're looking for.
It'll tell you
if they wanted a tall, 6-foot, dark skinned girl, then
they
you will see
them,
all of them showing up. And
like
you know, size 6 or something like that. But when they do a casting call for all, they say all models. Just come on, bring your ass. But when you're talking about like a casting where these agencies already will call your agent and tell you to fit the description of what
that's
the client
right.
want, whether it's Cheerios or goddamn Victoria's Secret goddamn magazine, they know what they're looking for. Their clients automatically know if they want the fat black child. That's how they file pressures and shit. They want the fat black child or a fat light-skinned boy or whatever. They are very... what's that shit called? Vivid with how they see their commercials, their movies, their modeling or their billboard campaigns. They're very vivid on how they imagine the type of nigga that they need to fit the role.
Exactly. That's why
they're very vivid.
That was a setup
and
right here.
And I just
want to
vent that there were some parts that I couldn't even get as a child because they was looking for dark skinned girls. I should be pissed off today.
Yeah,
because the white man wanted a dark skinned girl to play in the fucking role of a long walk home. That's some bullshit. Ain't that a bitch? But they're very vivid. And mind you, these are your producers, directors, and writers of shit. So when Seth God is saying it's propaganda, no, motherfucker, it's Hollywood. It's commercials. It's all the and above. And they have already put in their mind how they fucking want a nigger to look like. And they send it out to the agencies. And we get the whip or the backlash and feeling like we wasn't accepted because some light-skinned motherfucker got it, or in my case, some dark-skinned motherfucker got it. And at the end of the day, we all trying to compete in white man's world and we ready to cut each other's throat. But motherfucker, we want to be in his world and you mad at me because I'm light-skinned.
That's just what
I'm mad at you because you dark skinned. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Bitch, you a nigga. I'm a fucking nigga. We sitting for an interview. You walk in, don't get the job. I walk in and get it, and you say that's because the bitch is light skinned. Let's wake up today and say, bitch, me and you both want in his fucking house, ho. So let's not cut each other's throat. Right?
Yeah.
I know niggas can see it,
But, you know, like, let's think about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm here this shit. They getting the jobs. They getting this. They getting that. Me, bitch, me and you both want in his motherfucking house. So let's stay out of his fucking house and let's just see what happens. But that's how they do that shit. That's what the fuck they're looking for. Yeah, that's what they're looking for. And what they looking for? You want to be in his world, but he got us fighting each other, looking at each other's skin tone like, you know, it's your fault. They choosing you. It's your fault. They chose you. Like, come on now. This is how they fucking play. I don't give a fuck if it's a job at Hooters. Ain't that right? Shit. We got to stop trying to fucking fight each other and fall for this bullshit. Meanwhile, Ohio wants your child, and I'm going to throw my child in it too, not to wear their fucking hair natural. We got another case to fucking fight. We got another drag in the fucking fight. We got to stop this shit. And I'm only talking to my sisters. I don't give a fuck if a nigga prefer a light-skinned bitch or if a light-skinned nigga prefers a dark-skinned bitch. Let's build fucking families. God damn it. Let's keep our families fucking tight. Everybody got preference, motherfucker. God damn, even a dark-skinned bitch got preferences. Everybody got fucking preferences, motherfucker. Let's just make sure that we keep our preferences in that little African-American word that all niggas love to say at times. Mm-hmm. That's all that shit fucking matter. God damn. They have no idea that they created racism within us because it makes more money.
Yep.
They go broke. The government keeps this shit going, motherfuckers. Wake up. Without racism, they'll be broke. Without me and you fighting this shit, they'll be broke. Without this fucking Paula Deen as the poster bitch for us to fucking stick our tongue out at her, it's going to make her richer. Goddamn. And we need to stay away from motherfuckers that's goddamn it separating us, and they happen to be in nigger skin. We need to stay away from Oprah and fucking Tyler Perry making the light-skinned nigger good in the fucking movies to captain save some scorned bitch from some dark-skinned nigger. That's we got to stay away from them motherfuckers. Yep. They fucked up.
Yeah, they're fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to stop advocating them motherfuckers. Look at what the fuck they doing now. Then they got the pandering dog skin bitch pandering on the white man to fuck them and get even and try to get rich off of them.
Yeah.
And you got to see these niggas' plots, man.
Yeah.
He didn't want to put no light skin bitch in that role, did he? On the have not. Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey got together and said, we know we can't put a light-skinned bitch in this role. We got to put a pandering nigger bitch to seduce, to fuck the cracker and try to sue him. They show how black was evil, basically.
Mm.
That's what they're showing. The dark-skinned women are evil. And that shit right there. I just want to tell you that. They couldn't do it. And remember his other shit, Mr. D's or some old shit? Gabrielle Union is an evil, pandering, gold-digging bitch, and that light-skinned bitch, who's really, I think she's mixed, by the way, the one that played in Mission Impossible, and she's all sweet, homeless hoe, so he comes and captain save her ass and ditch Gabrielle Union, incompassionate, evil ass.
Mm.
You see this shit? Y'all know the fucking movie I'm talking about. But Oprah and Tyler would tell you, we weren't doing it based on our color, but we find out later, bitch, that you put some dark-skinned documentary on your fucking show out. So it's always been color with you, Oprah.
That's right.
It's always been. You didn't have a fucking audience full of black women. You only had that shit one time, and that's when you was talking about melanin, you bitch. She did. Her fucking audience was packed like a motherfucker with full of beautiful black women and sprinkled a few snowflakes. That was the only time she had a packed-ass house full of beautiful black women. When she was talking about some goddamn melanin. Okay? There's a whole audience full of fucking women. I know y'all remember, full of beautiful black women. Y'all remember that shit?
Mm-hmm.
And these women were standing up talking about they were like damn near 80 years old and they looked 20. It was sprinkled with a few crackles, though, in it. But that was the only time. She made sure she opened up that fucking door and let black women in that day. But I guarantee your motherfucking ass go back and look at the Whitney Houston when the Whitney Houston and all the rest of the motherfuckers came on a goddamn show. It was still full of a bunch of fucking crackers. So you know when the bitch needs you. You know when the bitch needs you. I just want to tell y'all motherfuckers right now, I love y'all so much I don't fucking need you. I just know we need to fucking be together.
Yeah.
That's a big fucking difference. That shit crazy, ain't it?
2013, and these motherfuckers still talking about black, white, and dark, black,
because
dog,
it's
white,
to separate dog. Us. It's to get the yeah. black man against the black woman, the Nubian, the, you know, that beautiful colored woman like my mother. You know what I'm saying? It's just to keep this shit going. We can't. We gotta break this shit, yo. We just gotta stop it. We gotta stop it. Let the brothers choose within our race. Okay, he might like a skinny, dark-skinned bitch than a fat, light-skinned hoe. So if he had to choose, he didn't like fat bitches, but he desired light-skinned women, he going to have to go for the dark-skinned, skinny bitch. Does it make you feel better?
Yeah, you know.
Like, God damn, all this pandering-ass shit. I'm so sick of this shit. I'm going on another 365 fucking days. So we can break this spell, black women. I'm serious. Nubian women. And let the brothers fight it out within their own self. They need to get that shit together. But all these niggas on this show, they don't even fucking give a fuck.
Yeah,
that's what makes this shit a hell of a lot more.
Shit,
yeah, nigga don't give a fuck.
Shit. They've been with light skin, dark skin. So I've never felt that way. Somebody choosing somebody over me.
Except for two, because don't two. You know, I noticed that y'all niggas be saying shit on the slide in the after party, like, oh, I like Neff, I like Neff, I like yellow women, I like light skinned women. I noticed y'all do that shit though, but it doesn't affect. It don't affect me. I don't know if it affects any other sisters that be in the after party. But if it affects you, then goddamn bitch, you got a lot of fucking work to do on yourself.
Right.
I think all the niggas in the chat room should start throwing out, just for the hell of it, lie about it, how many, what color bitch in the African-American community you prefer, and see if it stroke a bitch the wrong way. Y'all got to get over this shit. Like Zena. Remember when Well-Dressed spit that shit? Remember when Well-Dressed spit that rap? Zena pushed one on that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit be stroking these hoes, man. Y'all got some real fucking, y'all got to work it out. Work it out. Work that shit out. You got racism and hatred within your own fucking kind. Mm. That just show racism and hatred. Because, you know, the bitch still a nigga. She still got
that.
Big lips and big nose.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? But you could tell that that's some shit within that chick every fucking time. You know what I'm saying?
2013, same shit.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of Well-Dressed, I'm going to play his song and get up out of here, man. Man of the Hour is up next. I'm going to play that Liquid Love from Majestic. That's my time, man. Y'all have an awarding day, man, and see you in a new day or later on tonight, you know. Whoever, whenever, probably. God bless. May your color bless you.
Peace, dog.
May
yeah,
the color of
you
your skin
call.
Bless your black ass.
You had to call, too.
Nell, you got to push me in, man.
I know. Did you
give me
it?
Liquid Love. Hurry up before the show go out.
Oh,
I want to play Liquid Love.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
Your shit is fucked up, too?
No, I just... It takes a minute, man. Especially when I try to do a search.
L-I-Q will give us Liquid Love.
All right. L-I-Q. All right, here you go. Let's see this shit.
Yeah, it gets real slow when I start to type it in the search, man. It's some bullshit.
There's got to be some type of, you know, some shit going on, man. Me and you on different parts of the fucking planet, nigga, and ain't no way in hell we going through the same shit at the same time all the fucking time.
All right, I got you now. We can get on out of here?
Yes, liquid love, right. Baby. Majest.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Tangiers. We got a special guest in the house tonight, y'all. He flew in all the way tonight, y'all, from Kill City. It's my main man. He goes by the name Well Dressed Majest. Everybody get him a warm welcome. And if you can, I would like you to put down that drink or whatever the fuck you drinking, my nigga. Come up and spit some fly shit to the ladies. They've been waiting all night on you. Yeah, I got a wife, but you can spend the night. And if it costs a couple dollars, then baby, name your price. Just playing, you don't recognize the joke. Kush in the air, you don't recognize the smoke. Baby girl, you don't recognize the dope. Fly as the fuck, you don't recognize the float. Pride on the feet, I'm trying to show you growth. The hood on my shoulders, trying to give them hope. Use a red bone, smell sweet. Bet your grandmama full-blooded Cherokee. And you can get it regularly. My bloodline say I got hustling in my pedigree. You'll never find another fresh as me. Bet $1,000, I'm such a problem. I'm still pissy off the ocean spraying vodka. Dressed like a mobster with a hustler's posture. Yeah, I appreciate the hospitality I'll show a nigga like me, you know. Hey, bartender, can you bring me another drink, man? Hey, Al Business, I appreciate the backup singers that you got in the house, man. They're really talented, you know. So, I guess I got a second verse for you, then I got to sit my ass down, man. I'm feeling kind of tipsy right now.
I say buying shoes, I hate getting them scuffed, so...